St. Louis Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves down the stretch.
High school football action is on Platte River Radio.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation Sports presents high school football.
Snitzler in the backfield with Kogan Thompson. High snap, Snitzler has it, steps up, throws a beautiful ball, and it's caught for a touchdown! Gavin Robinson on the outside, a perfectly thrown ball by Snitzler.
Today it's live coverage of the Nebraska State Championships from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. High school football on ESPN Radio is brought to you by the ESPN Sports Club.
Out of the double wing, Bloom in motion from left to right, and they'll go with an inside trap play this time, and there's Cremosta with some room to the left corner. 40, 35, he steps out of a tackle and he's gone. Touchdown, Ryan Cremosta!
Six programs will hoist a state trophy this season, and you'll hear every one of them right here on ESPN Superstation. It's time to crown our next state champion. But first, the New Tech Seed pregame show. We'll take you live to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln right after this from New Tech Seed.
New Tech is proud to support high school sports. New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 750-6060 or visit newtech@yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Five champions have been crowned, one yet to earn the title of state champion. Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Memorial Stadium, our sixth state championship game here on the ESPN Superstation in Central Nebraska. Randy Bushka along with Larry Kottner, nice enough to join us for the Class A state championship game between undefeated Burke and Lincoln Southeast. Southeast, a perennial football power. Omaha Burke looking for their first ever state championship, but they certainly have the offense to do it. This is a classic matchup of the best offense in the state in Omaha Burke going against the best defense in Class A in Lincoln Southeast. And, Larry, you can't ask for a whole lot more than that. You love to see it when that occurs. This is kind of that dream matchup. A lot of people wanted to see Oklahoma State and LSU in the national championship game in college football. We got it here in Class A, high school football.
Yes, we do, and I think a lot of people really are looking forward to this matchup more than any other one here at the state high school football finals. These two teams, as you mentioned, they're just contrasting in their styles. Lincoln Southeast, the tradition. They've got defense on their side. They play tough nose defense. They shut out Creighton Prep in the first round, 35-0. Eliminated Millard South, 28-7. Allowed only 18 points in the semifinal win over Papillion La Vista. Omaha Burke on the year, they put up some big numbers. 49 points earlier this year against Millard North. 42 against Papillion La Vista, 49 against Omaha North, 42 against Millard West. It has gone down a little bit in the playoffs, although Papillion La Vista South, they took care of 55-7. So they know how to put points on the scoreboard here on the football field.
Well, if they got one more receiver to get 1,000 yards, 62 yards from one of their other receivers, and if that happens, they will have five players who have 1,000 yards of offense, either receiving, throwing, or running with the football, so they can move the ball up and down the field. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the starters for both Burke and Southeast, the Class A state championship game here on the ESPN Superstation. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our starting lineups when we continue with the New Tech Seed pregame show. New Tech Seed, your yield leader. Contact Terry or Jason Stark or a New Tech Seed dealer near you. The starters right after this.
Nebraska Farm Bureau offers a number of great benefits, from its member group rates with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska to the most visible economic benefit through Farm Bureau Financial Services. One of the most important member benefits for Farm Bureau members is the insurance programs offered. Farm Bureau provides coverage for your car, home, farm and ranch, crop hail, life, health, business, and retirement needs. Stop by the Buffalo County Farm Bureau offices in Kearney today.
'Tis the season for cage fighting. Incarnate Resurrection Fighting Alliance presents professional mixed martial arts at Kearney's Vieiro Center. Friday, December 16th. Get some of the world's top fighters, including UFC veterans, plus up-and-coming challengers. Don't miss the hard-hitting, heart-pounding action and excitement of professional mixed martial arts. Tickets available online at KearneyEvents.com or call 308-338-8011. It's cage fighting Incarnate at the Vieiro Event Center. Friday, December 16th, 7 p.m.
This starting lineup brought to you by Five Points Bank will begin first of all for the visitors on the scoreboard, Lincoln Southeast, and their starters will look like this on offense. Their center is Robbie LaFleur. He's 5'10", 270 pounds, and a senior. Guards are Dan Washington, 5'10", 245 pounds, and a senior. And also DJ Foster, he is 6'3", 290 pounds, only a sophomore. The tackles are Aaron Bubb, 6'4", 280 pounds, and Landon Kubicek, a junior, at 6'4", 290 pounds. And the wide receiver, Desmond Robinson, a junior, 5'11", 165 pounds. The running back is Devin Washington. Washington really has been the go-to guy down the stretch. He is a junior, 5'8", 170 pounds, and he has run for almost 1,700 yards and 22 touchdowns on the season. And Najee Jackson, the quarterback, he has thrown for about 1,400 yards, a little short of that, and 15 touchdowns on the year. He is only a junior at 6 foot tall. And again, they have one of the best defenses in the state. Their leading tackler is Adam Klansky. He is a senior at 6'2", 190 pounds. Tied for that title of leading tackler is Christian Bame. He is a senior, 5'7", 185 pounds. And the other tacklers, well, a couple other guys I mentioned are Trey Foster and Sam Cotton. Both are seniors, both 6'4", 225 and 235 pounds, respectively. Cotton, a recruit for the University of Nebraska, at his defensive end spot, is averaging, well, has about 7.5 sacks on the season. He's the leading sacker in Class A. For Omaha Burke, their starting lineup looks like this. Mitch Huff will be the center. He's 6 foot, 235 pounds. Left guard will be Daniel Loffelman, a senior at 5'10", 185 pounds. The right guard is Andrew Coppa, a senior, 6'1", 235 pounds. Tackle, Evan Hutchinson, 6 foot, 250 pounds. The right tackle is Hunter Greer. He is 6'7", 315 pounds. The Wildcat back is Carson Collins. He is just 2 yards short of 1,300 yards on the season. And he's 5'11", 225 pounds. Their leading rusher is Jordan Nelson. Nelson, 1,614 yards on the season, also 646 yards rushing with the football. Wide receivers are Peyton Nelson, a freshman, 6'1", 165 pounds. Trayvon Heimer, a senior, he is 6'8", 6'8", 220 pounds, a huge target. And the other wide receiver is Turner Gaines, a junior at 5'9", 155 pounds. Your starting lineups brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank. Go to fivepointsbank.com and check out solutions, products, and services that complement the way you live. So, whatever your lifestyle, you'll find banking with Five Points Bank, the better bank, is just simply better. We'll be back with the kickoff between Burke and Lincoln Southeast in the Class A State Championship game right after this timeout.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Pro Team Design is proud to support our area athletes and their fans. We do that the best way we know how, which is providing quality screen printing and embroidery and unmatched service to all of Central Nebraska. For everything from youth football to college volleyball, we have the brands you want at prices you can afford. So call Pro Team Design in Grand Island today for all of your corporate, athletic, or personal screen printing and embroidery needs. Pro Team Design, 2716 Old Fair Road in Grand Island, 308-398-1154, or check us out on the web at proteamdesign.com.
A calm night at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. 7:15 will be kickoff time. 39 degrees at Memorial Stadium. Today's game time and temp is brought to you by Big G, Ace Hardware of Hastings, and the original Sun Heat Infrared Heater. It's that time of year again. When the temperature falls, your heating costs will go up. Slash those heating costs with the original SunHeat infrared heater from Big G Ace Hardware in Hastings. SunHeat provides soft, safe, comfortable heat for any area of your home and features the Made in Nebraska wood cabinet. Don't be fooled by imitators. Get the original SunHeat at Big G Ace Hardware, North Highway 281 in Hastings. Burke did win the toss. They have deferred their choice to the second half. So Lincoln Southeast says, we want the football. And so Burke will be kicking off here to start the Class A state championship game. Glad you could join us on the ESPN Superstation in central Nebraska. 1460 in Kearney, 1550 in Hastings. And, of course, you can listen to us live on the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverSports.com on the World Wide Web. And that is going to catch on, that whole internet thing. As we mentioned, five champions have been crowned. Elgin Pope John in Class D1. In D2, an upset, Sargent over Howells. Elkhorn over Crete last night in Class B. Earlier today, Norfolk Catholic over Platteview 20-6. Aquinas stopped Kearney Catholic's 11-game winning streak with a 27-13 final. Congratulations to the Monarchs and obviously to Kearney Catholic on an outstanding season. Their first trip ever to the state football finals here in Class C2, or any class for that matter. And now Omaha Burke, they've been in the championship before, but they are 0-for here in the championship game. They're trying to win their first ever state championship. And Lincoln Southeast, well, this is a team that has a tremendous amount of tradition in Class A. They have won the championship in 76, 77, 91, 92, 97, 98, 2000, and 2002. And now they're trying to win their first state championship in 9 years. Burke has yet to win a state championship, and they were a runner-up back in 1980. Burke, as we mentioned, will tee things off here, and we're just about ready to go here at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. Teeing it up here for Omaha Burke is going to be Ryan Anderson, and Anderson looks downfield, gets the whistle, and he'll put his foot into it at the 40-yard line, and we're underway. It's a fairly short kick. And I think we were offside. Yep, they're going to throw a flag at the 40-yard line. Looked a little discombobulated from the start there, Larry.
Yeah, no question about it. A couple of the Burke players a little anxious to get downfield. A short kick on that particular opening kick for Omaha Burke. That was going to be played at about the 20-yard line, but they'll have to do it over again.
And I wonder a little bit if he heard a whistle. And,
yeah, that
and
could
maybe
be.
He pulled up just a little bit, and who knows, maybe I'm wrong on that. It's kind of... The only guy that really knows the answer to that question for sure is number 37, Ryan Anderson, who's going to tee it back up again. Back deep for Southeast, by the way, number 6, Christian Baim. You don't see middle linebackers very often returning kicks, but Baim, a quick kid, and he will be back deep. Anderson will put his foot into it. This one has a little more oomph on it, and Baim is going to pick it up at about the 15-yard line. He's at the 25, the 30, has a little seam there, and it closes very quickly at the 40-yard line, and he is pulled down there by Omaha Burke's Jeremy Queen, and Queen, one of the linebackers, making a pretty good tackle there on special teams.
Well, you see why Baim is the return man. He took that at about the 20-yard line and just made some quick moves, got right downfield, didn't waste any time, followed his blockers, picked up 21 on the return, and set his team up in good field position on this opening drive.
And just nothing fancy. And I like that whenever a kick return guy just goes right up the field, just get what you can. Now, Jay Jackson in under center, and he's just going to fake the handoff. He looks to throw. He has plenty of time to throw. He has a man down there, and it's caught at the 20, at the 10, at the 5. Touchdown! Taking it in for the distance, hitting him in stride. They got it to Desmond Robinson, and lightning strikes real early here for Lincoln Southeast. You talk about the Burke offense. Well, the Southeast offense just made a statement right there.
What a beautiful call. Play action that time. Jackson went back, and he put it right on the money to Desmond Robinson, who didn't have to even break stride. And Southeast, Ryan Gatulik, dipping into the playbook right away and getting the score.
He was perfectly thrown and right in stride, had about a 3-yard lead, and he just distanced it from there. The kick, the snap is down, the kick is up, and it is 7-0. Lincoln Southeast, we've only played 14 seconds, and the Knights are on the board. 7-0 Southeast. Burke will get their hands on the ball, and we come back after this.
From checking and savings accounts to personal loans and 24-hour access to your funds, Five Points Bank personal banking solutions are simply better. To stay ahead in your business, you keep abreast of new technology. So does Five Points Bank. We'll help you stay one step ahead. Our experienced investment and trust advisors know the best way to help you achieve your goals. Stop by in person or visit us on the web at fivepointsbank.com. Five Points Bank, the better bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Well, a Desmond Robinson 59-yard catch, and he was hit perfectly in stride by his quarterback, Najee Jackson. And, again, that's what hitting somebody in stride will do for you. He had about a two-and-a-half-yard lead on the defender because of the play action. And when hit in stride, he just outran the distance, outran the defense from that point on. And he goes the distance, 59 yards. It's 7-0 Southeast. And who would have thought it had been the Southeast defense, Southeast offense that would make the first big strike?
Well, I tell you, and you can't measure how important it is to have early success in the state championship game.
Well, your offense, and again, we talked a lot about the matchup when Burke has the ball and Southeast is on defense. What does it do for that Southeast offense to say, hey, we can score some points as well? Well, back deep here for Burke, and you don't hear a whole lot about their return game, but again, good athletes are good athletes, and back deep is going to be Jacob Ellis. And they'll kick the ball toward the sideline over there. One of the upbacks is going to take it, and he has it at the 20-yard line. Right up the middle, gets tripped up, and that's going to end the return by Carson Collins. And Collins, the Wildcat back, that's not a bad up man to have because he knows a little bit of what to do in space. And he'll bring the ball out across the 25-yard line. They're going to mark it about right at the 29. So it'll be first and 10 here for Omaha Burke. And Burke, they're not necessarily known for just grinding the ball down the field. They can do it, but they have the potential for that big play strike capability as well. So Burke will step in under center. And again, that's going to be Zachary Cook. Cook out of the shotgun is going to hand the ball off to the first back coming through as he comes across, and not much room to run there for Jordan Nelson. Small hole that didn't stay open very long.
Well, I think Omaha Burke right now is going to try to go with the quick running game to just kind of feel out the defense of Lincoln Southeast here early on. And for the most part, they don't huddle up. They'll get the plays from the sideline. But even though they're not huddling up, they do still take a little bit of a time because the quarterback is going over there, Zachary Cook, and getting the plays from the coaching staff.
This is very similar to what UNK likes to do with their offense, if people are familiar with that. And Jackson going to hand it off to the scat back. He bounces to the outside, has it at the 40, has a little bit of seam, breaks one tackle, and he may go the distance. They're trying to get him in the corner over there, and Jordan Nelson eventually is knocked down at about the 15-yard line. Great hustle down there defensively to knock him out of bounds, but I'll tell you what, he's got a step. And Jordan Nelson turned on the afterburners.
Jordan Nelson really shows his speed. He got to the outside. And then once he turned the corner, he just left the defensive man for Lincoln Southeast, Colin Clare, in the dust.
Clare had an angle, and he just couldn't close that gap because Nelson just a little bit faster than what he anticipated. So ball at about the 16-yard line. That's where they're going to say he was out of bounds before he was hit about one stride later. And now the shotgun again here for Burke is going to be Zachary Cook. Cook will hand it back off right up the middle. Not much room to run at all for Jordan Nelson that time as he was swallowed up by that Southeast defensive line.
Yeah, just a simple dive play up the middle, and that's not really to Nelson's advantage. It's a little more to Burke's advantage to have him on the exterior.
We've had a lot of offense here in the early stages. Obviously, the Knights had a 56-yard touchdown strike. I checked that, a 59-yard touchdown strike, and Jordan Nelson has carried the ball three times for 56 yards in this game. Jackson going to take the snap. He's going to throw to the end zone. Has a man there, and oh, just off the outstretched fingers of Peyton Nelson, and he just tried to turn around and get it over his shoulder and couldn't quite track down the ball. He threw it in a nice, safe area, but a lot of speed there for Nelson, but not quite enough to track down that ball.
Peyton Nelson came open out there on that fade pattern, but it was just thrown a little too far that time by Zachary Cook.
So now, again, they'll look at the wristbands and see what the coaches have in mind. And one of the things that does is it does not allow the Knights to make any sort of substitutions because if they try to change personnel, they'll speed things up here very quickly and get them out of position.
And unusual, and I didn't even know they did this in high school football, they do run the 25-second clock here at Memorial Stadium for the championship games. And so they have a pretty good idea how much time they have, and Zachary Cook has plenty here. He takes the snap, and it bounces out there a little bit. He's rolling to his right. He's going to throw toward the end zone, and he just dumped that one away as it was well out of bounds, and that is now going to make it 4th and 9. Probably a kicking situation here for the Bulldogs.
Good defensive play by Tanner Morton, the senior, 6'2", 205-pounder, out there at the cornerback position. He did not allow his man to get inside of him right at the goal line and force that 4th down pass.
So for Burke, into action now is going to be Hayden Guy, no relation to Ray, I'm sure. But Hayden Guy is going to be trying the extra point here. Excuse me, the field goal. This will be a 33-yard attempt. Snap is down. It is a low kick, and it does squeak through there. And that's the first points of the ball game here for Omaha Burke. The Southeast defense holds, but the Bulldogs do get points on the board. It's Lincoln Southeast 7 and Burke 3. Plenty of action left in this one. 10:05 to go in quarter number one. We're back after this.
The most recommended by far, Houston's Body Shop. That's who we are. Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended Houston's Body Shop. That's who we are.
Well, both teams on their first possessions of the ball game put points on the board. That was the long touchdown strike for Southeast of 59 yards. And pretty impressive drive here for Omaha Burke, as it was a six-play, 56-yard drive as well, but they had a little bit further to go. They ran out of field and couldn't get it any closer, and they had to settle for the 32-yard field goal from Hayden Guy. And it's 7-3, Lincoln Southeast. But Burke answers back. You get hit like that, you find a way, and you answer back.
Yeah, they got down there. They got the field goal. You got to give a lot of credit, though, to the Southeast Knights for stiffening up defensively once they gave up the big play.
So Bame will take the kickoff, and he's dancing to the right side, about the 30-yard line. Check it. It's not Bame, rather, but it's Devontae Madlock. Madlock made one man miss, just shucked him off, gained an extra 15 yards. Nice job there by Madlock, getting what he could. And again, he went pretty much just north to south after he got it, except he shucked one guy off and just kind of pushed him out of the way. And Madlock, a nice little return. He's only 155 pounds, but used some leverage there to free himself, and it'll be first and 10 from about the 39-yard line.
On both kickoffs, Lincoln Southeast has gotten themselves out near the 40-yard line. They have had some good returns both times.
So Jackson will hand the ball off to his tailback. Right up the middle comes Devin Washington. Washington just takes it off tackle over there. Not much room to run at all. And he's going to be upended by Andrew Truckenbrod. Come up from his defensive back position. Just kind of filled in the gap. But that's going to be a gain of about 4 here for Lincoln Southeast.
Yeah, they had a good open hole that time for the running back, Devin Washington. And he had an opportunity to scoot to the outside, but the defensive back came up and made the play.
So Jackson in under center. Washington only back in the backfield with him. They're going to run the option. They're going to pitch it out to him. And there's great penetration out there. He breaks one tackle, but no room to run at all there for Devin Washington. And Washington is actually going to lose about 1 yard. And there's good penetration there by the Omaha Burke defense.
Yeah, that was Joseph Contreras, 5'10", 180-pound junior, who forced the quarterback that time to pitch that ball out a little bit sooner than he wanted to. Jackson really couldn't penetrate, as Burke really did a good job with Contreras, made him pitch early.
So it's going to be 3rd and a good solid 8 here for the Lincoln Southeast offense. And Jackson going to step back, has a little time to throw. Pretty good coverage, and the pass is incomplete. There's a lot of black jerseys right by that football. Wow, that was kind of dangerous as those bobbled. They were trying to connect with Dragoo, and Dylan Dragoo couldn't come up with it. That ball was bounced around a little bit, and when it finally hit the turf, there were 6 black jerseys within a yard of the football.
Yeah, and he had to be hearing some of those. That was a beautiful pass by Jackson. Dragoo, though, really should have brought that one in. He bobbled it a couple of times. And just really didn't ever secure the football.
And that was dangerously close to being intercepted as well. A well-thrown ball, but it is fourth down and about eight. So a punting situation coming up here for Southeast. And Burke will have a couple of guys back deep. Turner Gaines will just watch a short punt bounce in front of him, and it's touched around, kicked around a little bit, and it's going to be down by Southeast. One of the guys downing it was Jared Cooper, and that's not a very good punt. That's only about a 15-yard punt.
Yeah, it shanked right off the side of his foot, went right up into the air and off to the right side, and then took a terrible Lincoln Southeast bounce, going back another 5 yards before they could down it. So Burke with some tremendous field position to start their second drive of the ball game.
And really fortunate there wasn't any wind. If there was a wind in his face, that ball might have gone backwards as high as that was up in the air.
There's a little bit of a breeze, but not much. It's not a factor in this ball game, especially down there on the field.
Well, you take a look at the flags on top of the uprights, and there it maybe, if you look careful, you'll notice it flickering a little bit, but there's not much wind. And now Burke with pretty good field position. So Zachary Cook will step in behind center. He doesn't get underneath the center very often. He's in the shotgun. He'll step up, throw a little flanker screen out there, and making the catch and being tackled immediately is Tavon Heimer. And Heimer hit immediately. There was just nowhere to go. Ball came out, but he was already down.
Yeah, that was a pretty good job by Heimer for Lincoln Southeast. That's that quick screen out to the flanker out on the right side. And you've got to make the tackle. You're out there on no man's land, and he made the play for a short 2 yard gain.
So we'll call it second and eight here. Ball just short of midfield. And everybody looking at their wristband to see what they have in mind. And Cook in that shotgun will put a man in motion behind him, and they'll run a little zone option right up the middle, and not much room to run for the first back coming through there. Maybe a gain of one for Carson Collins, and Collins will set up now third and about seven.
So far, we haven't seen very much success for Omaha Burke in running the ball at Lincoln Southeast. Some of those guys up front for the Knights really doing a good job. Zachary Bermude, 6'3", 285 pound. He's kind of anchoring it right up there just off that left side.
Burke trailing it 7-3, has it third and seven from the 50-yard line. Long count coming up here by Zachary Cook. And Cook now will direct traffic a little bit. They come with the blitz, pull it back off, and now Cook's going to run. Now bounce to the outside. Now he's going to throw, and it is caught in underneath. That's going to be awfully close to the first down. He was able to throw it in underneath to Peyton Nelson, and Nelson made the catch just short of the 41-yard line. That's enough by a half yard for a first down. And again, a little mobility there for Zachary Cook. He created some time for himself and helped get his receiver open with his movement.
Yeah, he stepped up into the pocket, thought maybe he had a chance maybe to run, saw that closed off. He backed out, went out to the left, and he found his receiver downfield.
So Cook in the shotgun. Behind him is going to be Jordan Nelson, and they'll hand it to Nelson. Nelson breaks one tackle and is going to be upended right at the line of scrimmage then by Dan Washington. Good penetration. They couldn't make the tackle, but Washington was there to mop things up.
Nelson able to pick up about 3 yards, and that's the kind of play that he's more effective. Again, they were taking it to the outside, trying to angle him outside. He actually took it back inside, and that allowed Southeast to limit the gain on the play.
Well, that was a lot more of a gain than I thought it was. It just didn't seem like there was anything going there. Then they unstack it, and it's a gain of three. So they're on schedule, are the Knights here, and they'll hand the ball off again. Trying to bounce to the outside, a little room to run there by Collins, and Collins is going to bring it out to about the 35-yard line, so that's going to be a gain of about three. It's going to set up third and three.
Nice ankle tackle down low there that time by Dan Washington, another one of the nose guys, 5'10", 245-pounder for Lincoln Southeast. If he doesn't get a hand on him, he might have got another first down there.
Well, he didn't get the spot. Two last plays I haven't spotted well either time. It's going to be third and five instead of third and three. And they have some equipment issues on the Southeast side of the ball. I think they got a helmet that's kind of stuck in there. So they'll have to restack things a little bit. It gives us a chance to remind you that coverage of the 2011 state football playoffs presided in part by Misco Sports and Kearney. Misco's have been keeping us better equipped for the games we play for years now. See them on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. Get your game on now at Misco's, as people are starting to make that transition to the winter sports season.
And the official transfer will be taking place here after this game. Under center, going to be Cook. He's just going to pitch the ball back off a little seam and getting it up for the first down, breaking the tackle, baking it down the sideline, and knocked out of bounds eventually is going to be Jordan Nelson. Nelson, great power run, and then showing his speed after he pushed off the would-be tackler with a strong stiff arm, and that is a huge gain on third down. It's going to set up now first and 10 at about the 12-yard line.
Boy, he made a couple of Lincoln Southeast players miss him and then get to the outside, and he just has great speed, follows his blockers, and good balance to keep himself going.
So Cook, one of those rare times he was under center on the previous play, he'll go in under center this time as well. There'll be a man in motion, and he'll just hand it off to the fullback right up the middle, and pretty good run there, breaking through one tackle and chugging forward again is going to be Carson Collins, and big number 33, just a Wildcat backs are usually known as their scat backs, but I'll tell you what, he is running hard behind those shoulder pads and gains about 7 yards.
Yeah, Collins with a nice gain on that play down to about the 6. He set up in a Maryland eye that time, and then the point man at the back end of it was Nelson. They sent him in motion and took a linebacker out of that middle.
And Collins in the eye gets a handoff right up the middle again and in for the touchdown. Same play, same result, gain of about 8, and that's more than enough for a Burke touchdown, and they take the lead for the first time tonight. They lead it 9-7, pending the extra point.
Well, we expected a pretty potent offense from Omaha Burke, and so far we have seen it, and Lincoln Southeast has also had the big play, and I tell you, we could see a very high-scoring affair here in this Class A championship.
You want to kick the football at Omaha Burke, you better be the extra point guy, and that is Hayden Guy. And after hitting the field goal on their first drive, he'll try to add the extra point here. A little bit of a high snap, pretty good to hold there, but the kick is no good. And the timing of that was thrown off a little bit with a high snap. The holder got it down, but the kick was off the mark. So the score remains. It's Omaha Burke 9 and Lincoln Southeast 7. 4.5 minutes to go here in the first quarter. We'll kick it off when we come back right after this.
At ENT Physicians of Kearney, we put patients first. Doctors Owen and Connolly have provided unsurpassed care to adults and children with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, please visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time. We're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Well, welcome back, and again, we'll see if that extra point means anything. Right now, it's awfully early to start chasing any points as there's 4.5 minutes to go in the first quarter, but Omaha Burke continues to rack up some very impressive numbers. They have a total of 97 yards on the ground, 108 offensive yards total. Lincoln Southeast had the one big play, the 59-yard pass. Other than that, they only got 2 more yards. So they have 61 yards of offense here in the early stages. They need to find some way of kind of answering back. They don't necessarily have to score on this drive, but they need to offensively maybe get rolling a little bit. High kick, and it's going to be a short one, but it is going to go out of bounds. That was about 8 yards out of bounds when it landed. That had zero chance for success. So that'll be a procedure penalty against Omaha Burke. And Southeast will just move the ball upfield, and they'll have fairly good field position to get things started here. And they have some options. That ball went out of bounds at about the 31-yard line. I think they can take it 5 yards from there and get it out to the 36, I think.
Yeah, they're going to mark them at the 35 is where they're going to mark it here in Class A in the 11-man ball when you knock it out. And, boy, first down and 10. Lincoln Southeast has had great field position. The 41 to start a drive, a 39, and now the 35-yard line.
So special teams right now favoring Lincoln Southeast, and we'll see if they can get something going here offensively as well. Again, they hit that big strike early in the game off of play action. And the Jay Jackson will be back in under center. Jackson, long count. Fakes the handoff, little play action, throws it on the near side, and a little pitch and catch. It's going to be caught on the near sideline by Trey Foster. And Foster brings it about to the 40-yard line. So that's a good solid gain of five on first down.
Yeah, they went with play action on first down again, just like they did to start the game. But Burke doing a better job of covering downfield, so they went to the outlet receiver who picks up 5 yards for Lincoln Southeast.
So, again, I'll tell you what, he's a good-looking quarterback, is Najee Jackson. He just looks smooth with everything he does. He's in under center, looks around to see where his receivers are. He's going to drop back to pass, throws a little bullet to that outside, and pretty good coverage over there as the pass well thrown to Luke Gifford. But Gifford brought down immediately. I think that was Trey Carr who made the tackle.
Yeah, Carr going right up there, making the stop. And again, as you mentioned, Najee Jackson, he's got a tremendous arm. He's got zip on that ball. He's just a junior, so he has another year to even develop his game some more.
And what I like is sometimes it's a lob. You know, that long pass was just a nice little lob. That one had a lot of pepper on it. He understands a little bit of touch. Here we got third and three, 9-7 Omaha Burke. Southeast trying to answer back. They're coming in the eye, and they'll just hit a quick little strike to the right side. Pass and a catch, but, boy, no yards after the catch, and that's going to be short of the first down.
Yeah, they went on out there real quick to Madlock, but Madlock really just never had a chance. That ball got out there in a hurry, but he's going to end up either no gain or maybe even losing a yard as Joseph Contreras right in there on the stop.
And again, a well-thrown ball, but I think they actually lost a yard on the play, and he threw it forward. That was a forward pass. How do you throw it forward and lose a yard with a quick snap like that? Well, you just saw it. That's exactly what happened here. And with 2.5 minutes to go in the first quarter, Burke's going to get their hands back on the ball. Pretty good snap, and a low line drive tumbling kick that's going to bounce to the left and then roll forward just a little bit. They did not want to kick that ball, really, to Trey Carr, and so they just kind of found an open area, punched it in there, and had it roll down dead at about the 28-yard line. Will be first and 10 here for Omaha Burke.
Well, for Lincoln Southeast, this is a very big defensive series. Omaha Burke has had the ball twice now. They've been able to put points on the board both times. Each time, Jordan Nelson was a big part of that because he had long runs. He's carried the ball five times for 83 yards in this game, including a long run in each of those possessions to help Burke put points on the board.
And again, Southeast with the one big play, but other than that, Omaha Burke has really had the offensive impetus here in the ball game so far. Under center is going to be Cook, and Cook will just keep it himself, running a little zone read. He gains maybe about 2 yards, and the top-ranked defense in Class A shows it right there as they really came after the ball, and there was about eight guys deep when he got to the line of scrimmage. I mean, they were all there to meet Cook.
Yeah, it looked like he had a seam for a moment, but that closed in a hurry. As you mentioned, about eight players for Lincoln Southeast swarmed him under, and just a small gain of two.
So Cook, after the first couple of drives, he was in the shotgun all the time. Now he's under center. He'll run the option, a little bit of a pitch out to the outside, trying to get the ball out to Jordan Nelson. Nelson made one guy miss, kind of cut back in. Has a nice gain of about five here, and it's going to set up third and very manageable, about third and three.
And that's where Burke wants him, out there on the perimeter, where he can make you miss, and you're going to have to tackle him in the open. This time, Southeast, a little bit better job of doing so, as Christian Bame was the linebacker who brought him down, but still about five on the pickup.
1:15 to go here. Quarter number one, 9-7 Omaha Burke with a two-point lead and the football, third and three from their own 35-yard line. Out of the shotgun, they're going to hand the ball right up the middle. Jordan Nelson hits into the pile. The pile moved forward, but I don't think it moved forward enough. It is going to be fourth down and about 1 yard.
And there's where Nelson is not as effective. He's not as that strong runner that can move big guys back once he hits them. The big guys hit him, and he goes down, and they'll set up fourth down. And Southeast pitching a three and out for the first time in this game.
And Nelson, 5'9", 185 pounds. He's thick, but, you know, again, not a lot of bulk there when he hits into that pile. So punting situation here for Burke. Southeast acting like they're going to put a little pressure on. Burke pointing out fingers who they're going to block here. And here's a snap. A little high, but not too bad. And they pull back the pressure. High punt, back deep. And, again, just there's a flag immediately and no room to run there for the Southeast returner, Christian Bame. And Bame is swarmed under immediately. And I think they're going to back up even further as that looks like either a hold or a block, block in the back right at the point of attack. Say that five times.
Oh, that's a little tough to say. Colton Huff with a beautiful kick for Omaha Burke. He really put Lincoln Southeast back in the problem. That was Dylan Dragoo, I believe, that was wanting to return the punt back there. But the block in the back is going to even put it further back inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, they'll go half the distance here. They have the ball about the flag is laying at the 18-yard line, so I think it'll be first and 10 from about the 9. And you can always get an idea of how the field gets flipped. Just watch the guys going from one end of the field to the other who have the chains, and they're going to be winded when they get there because that's a pretty good jaunt. They're going to go down to the 9-yard line. Now they're going to spot, yeah, right on the 9-yard line. So it'll be first and 10, 13 seconds to go here. First and 10 from the 9-yard line for Lincoln Southeast.
45 yards on the punt net-wise, and then you tack on the penalty to set Lincoln Southeast back at their own 9.
See what Najee Jackson does here under center. And he'll just hand it off to the I-back right through the middle. Pretty good seam, and he's going to have enough for the first down. Gain of about 12 right up the middle for Devin Washington. And Washington, just a quick little hitter, but that was well blocked by Lincoln Southeast. And they're going to move the chains, and they'll have first and 10 when we start the second quarter here in just a few moments.
Yeah, we saw him almost break one like that earlier. And this one, he was able to break it out for a nice gain of close to 15 yards.
Southeast is already walking over to the sideline. They start the clock after they move the chains, and the Bulldogs with a 9-7 lead over Lincoln Southeast as we'll start the second quarter. But the Knights, after a 15-yard gain, maybe building a little bit of momentum. They're still on their end of the field. We'll see what they draw up on first down when we come back with quarter number two right after this timeout.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer's so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for 3 touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
Killian Motors in Kearney wants your trade-in. Stop in today and check out the great selection of program and new vehicles at low, low prices. Killian Motors needs good used vehicles, and you can help. They'll give you a great deal on your old trade-in. Killian Motors, your GM dealer where people come back time after time. 8th and Central in Kearney.
Well, it'll be first and 10 here for Lincoln Southeast. And let's give you a quick little reminder that the UNK football team on Saturday will play in the second round of the NCAA tournament. First time they played at home in the second round of the NCAA tournament. They kick off at noon against Wayne State of Michigan, Wayne State University, and hoping to draw a lot of fans there. Lopers hoping to bring in a lot of people to make up for the fact that the students are going to be gone in mass because it's Thanksgiving break, so bring your family and friends and help fill Hope Coliseum as kickoff is set for noon. Loper Alley has a $5 pregame tailgate provided by Nebraska Star Beef. Tickets, the most expensive ticket is only $9, and UNK students can get in for two. Jackson's going to hand it to Washington right up the middle. Washington breaks one tackle, spins out of there, and I'll tell you what, falling on the backside and making the tackle for Omaha Burke was Nicholas Thurber, and if Thurber isn't there, I think he takes it the distance.
Yeah, the sophomore stepped up and made the play, but you're correct. There's no question Devin Washington was headed towards the end zone if Thurber doesn't bring him down. He hit the hole and hit the hole hard and fast and then tried to elude that tackle there, but Thurber was able to hang on.
A nice little 14-yard gain again. Ball spotted at the 38-yard line. So Southeast right now beginning to exert their will a little bit. They've got 3 first downs in the game. And they'll go out of the I formation again. They'll hand it to Washington. Washington off tackle, slips off one guy, and then the linebackers fill the hole, and they hit Washington very, very hard right there. And coming up from the bottom of the pile, oh, that can't be right. I think it was, yeah, it was Truckenbrod who was the first one there.
Washington seems to be a little more comfortable, though, of running the ball inside compared to what Jordan Nelson, we were talking about him earlier, more happy to run to the outside.
5 carries, 36 yards so far for Washington.
Washington doesn't mind putting that head down a little bit. He's not a real big kid, only 170 pounds, but he'll run behind those shoulder pads. He's in the eye. They'll fake the handoff. Actually, they do give it to the fullback right up the middle, and it's just a quick little hitter for the lead back. And so Levi Gilbert getting a little bit of love here and has a nice gain of about 5 on the play. That's going to sit up third and about 1 yard.
Sometimes when that running back is hitting you and hitting you for some good yards, you overlook that fullback and just run right past him. That was the case on that play for Omaha Burke.
Well, how many times has that happened on this field over the years that you forget about that fullback and the fullback busts a big one when he's wearing a red jersey? Third and one, Nadej Jackson in under center. There's nobody over the center. I'm surprised they didn't quarterback sneak it. They give it to Washington. Washington breaks one tackle, cuts back against the green. He has it at the 35. One man to beat. He cuts back to the inside, dancing around. They're going to wrap him up there as he gets the ball down to the 22-yard line. A huge 26-yard gain. And I'll tell you what, he showed some power, he showed some agility, and he showed great vision. And Devin Washington, a 26-yard run. That was pretty.
Trey Carr had the angle on him. That was the only reason why Washington didn't score. Carr was able to turn him back in and then bring him down after the long game.
Well, Carr did a good job of keeping his balance because that was a great juke move that kind of a lot of kids that break their ankle end up on the turf after that great stop that Washington had. First and 10 from the 23. Hand off to the fullback right up the middle, and there it's hard sledding there. He gets back to the line of scrimmage, and that's going to be about it for Gilbert.
Not much going on that time. That was just a simple hitter up the middle to Gilbert, and this time Omaha Burke closing ranks and making the play.
Randy Bushcutter and Larry Cotner with you from the Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Class A State Championship game, 9-7. Omaha Burke with the 2-point lead, but right now Lincoln Southeast driving with 9:10 to go here in the second quarter. Big hit, and now a pretty impressive drive here for Southeast. They scored on the first play of the game, and now out of the eye on second and 8. And they'll hand the ball off to Washington. Washington lead block right up the middle. Going to be pulled down about the 15-yard line. He's going to be short of the first down. There was a pretty good seam, and I don't think he moved a foot right or left from where he was handed the football. He just went right up the middle, and finally they met him there, but he hit that hole hard.
Yeah, he just went right up the middle. He waited for his blocking to come through. Gilbert came across on a crossbuck block and opened up the lane, and he just waited for that fullback to get through there and make that block so that he could pick up that 7 yards.
So I formation, Washington in the eye. And they'll hand it off to him right up the middle. He is hit after gaining about a yard. He needed a yard and a half. Boy, it's going to depend on the spot. And I don't think he got it. I think he's going to be a little bit short. Southeast points forward like they did get it, and I think they're going to stop and measure here a little bit. Nope, they don't need to measure. They do eyeball it and say they got enough for the first down.
Yeah, he was able to get it down to about the 8-yard line. Might even actually, it's hard to tell with this angle.
Yeah, we're about the 25-yard line on the other side of the field, and that was down to about the 12-yard line. So it throws off our angle just a little bit, but they got enough for the first down. First and 10 from the 12. And, again, a huge first down here for the Knights. And they now have 5 first downs in the game. I think 3 of those came on this drive. 4 of those came on this drive. Quick little pitch to Washington. A couple of lead blockers out there. Cuts back into the inside. And he's going to be pulled down after a short gain there by Nicholas Thurber. He had a couple of lead blockers out there. That was student body right.
Well, I'll tell you what, Thurber is doing a great job defensively for the Bulldogs. He's been in a number of plays for the home team here tonight. And he limited the gain of Washington that time to less than a yard.
Well, actually, you look at unstacking it, that penetration, I'm with you, it didn't look like it was much, but they unstack it, that's a gain of 5. It was pretty good surge there by Lincoln Southeast. Handoff right up the middle, tripped up right at the 5-yard line, and so they're going to gain about 2.5, and that means they got about 2 or 2.5 to go here on third down. That was just a quick little hitter, and that hole closed very quickly.
Well, and Lincoln Southeast keeps trying to go up the middle, and well, I'll tell you, one of the things you look at, I mean, even from way up here, Hunter Greer looks huge. He is. He's 6'7", 315 pounds.
And a big kid like that makes a pile, and that's exactly what got Washington. Washington will be in the eye, and you can hear the cheers from both the offense and defense here. A long count,
Quick pitch out to Washington. Washington is going to throw, and it's intercepted. He threw it in underneath, and it is intercepted right at the goal line. Making the play for Burke was Jeremy Queen, and Queen makes the catch. And are they going to spot him? Yeah, they're going to call it a touchback. I didn't know if they were going to say that he was on the goal line or in or just a half yard short. But you could see it. He didn't hit the hole hard. If he runs the football, that's a first down. Maybe
yeah,
a touchdown.
I think they were looking to pass all the way because he looks like he had an opportunity at least to get the first down if he runs it. It was an ill-advised throw from the very get-go. One, his receiver was covered. Two, he left it way short to where the only person that could catch it was Jeremy Queen.
So a huge break here for Omaha Burke, who now have it first and 10 from the 20-yard line. And the quarterback just kind of dancing around back there. They go with that wildcat set with Carson Collins. So Collins, they don't really do the wildcat in terms of bringing the guy across in motion and faking that jet sweep. He just kept it himself and ran and gained about 2 yards. And he's still in there as that wildcat back. Nope, they switched it out, and now in the shotgun is going to be Zachary Cook. So Cook will call it out. He'll step up, he'll throw, pass right to the left side, breaking one tackle is going to be Nelson. Nelson breaks another, has it down the sideline, is finally going to be pushed out of bounds after a huge gain. Didn't look like much going at all, but then Jordan Nelson with a little bit of a juke and a lot of speed.
Luke Gifford got the push out, or else he may have taken it to the house. Because Jordan Nelson, again, eluding tackles. This time they throw it out on the flat for a screen, and he breaks three tackles before Gifford finally pushes him out, and he just gets a piece of him.
There was a lot of white jerseys there. That looked like that has not going to go very far at all, and then Jordan Nelson muscled his way through, and then one of those little crease. Boy, he goes from 0 to 60 very quickly. Shotgun formation. Here's Cook. Throw to the right side, and the pass is left on the turf, intended for Turner Gaines. Gaines couldn't reel that in. Probably just as well. He was going to gain maybe a yard on the play.
Yeah, there wasn't going to be much on the play, but looked like Turner Gaines was already turning to try to make the play before he had secured the football.
So, again, they will not huddle. They all look at their wristbands and see what they have in mind here, making sure that Southeast can't change any personnel here. Clock stop with 5:56 to go in the second quarter. 9-7 Bulldogs leading Lincoln Southeast, and that really doesn't give an indication of just how exciting this game has been. A lot of offense, even though there's only been a couple of touchdowns. And they'll run that little scat back formation. Carson Collins dancing around back there, and he doesn't have any gain at all. In fact, lost about 1 yard. That wildcat for Burke not working so far here tonight.
Yeah, they spread out the Southeast defense, put two wideouts to each side, even though the strong side was to the right side. They tried to run it to that short side and really had nowhere to go at all.
And we mentioned in the pregame that Carson Collins likes to run that wildcat, and he's got almost 1,300 yards on the season coming in, and Jordan Nelson has run for over 1,600, so that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. And now in the shotgun is going to be Zachary Cook. Cook going to step back, throw, throws into triple coverage. It's caught, but caught by whom? I think it's intercepted. It's dual possession. And they're going to say that it's actually caught by the defensive player because he was in underneath. The catch by the offensive player was around his shoulders. I think you could give that ball to Burke because Burke wins the jump ball. Offenses win the jump ball, but they're going to give it an interception.
Well, if it's simultaneous possession, then it goes to the offense. But I think that the defensive back actually had the inside position, made the play first, and made the reception. There's a flag on the play, but it's going to be declined.
Yeah, there was a hold against the offensive line here for Omaha Burke. You're right. I think if he catches the ball and brings it in, that makes all the difference in the world. But, boy, I'll tell you what, that was close. That's a great effort by the receiver. And a ball that was underthrown with good coverage. It is a turnover, so it'll be first and 10 from the 22-yard line. So both teams swapped turnovers here as both teams were moving the ball in their most recent possessions. 5:09 to go here, second quarter, 9-7. Omaha Burke with the lead over Lincoln Southeast. And we've got a TV timeout.
TV timeout. You know what? We're going to take it with them. We'll be back with 5:09 to go here in the second quarter. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Killian Motors in Kearney wants your trade-in. Stop in today and check out the great selection of program and new vehicles at low, low prices. Killian Motors needs good used vehicles, and you can help. They'll give you a great deal on your old trade-in. Killian Motors, your GM dealer where people come back time after time. 8th and Central in Kearney.
Well, during the break, we were kind of discussing a little bit that interception by Dylan Dragoo. And again, he had better position. It hit him in the eight. You know, that's where the ball was. Receiver reached around. Boy, it'd be tough to call it the other way. But I'll tell you, it was nearly simultaneous. In under center for Southeast is going to be Jay Jackson. Jackson going to hand it off to Washington. Washington, quick hitter up the middle, gains about eight. And if you're Lincoln Southeast, why would you do anything different? That has been bread and butter. That's been money all night.
Well, that's a dangerous backfield when you've got the passing arm of Jay Jackson and the running ability of Devin Washington. That is a good 1-2 punch there for the Southeast Knights.
You know, actually, I'm somewhat surprised that Jackson doesn't have more passing yards. He comes in with 1,361 yards on the season. That's really not a lot for the quality of effort that you see out there. He looks a pretty good-looking quarterback. It's going to be second and three from the 30-yard line. Jackson in under center, and he's going to drop back, a little pump fake. Now he's going to throw the ball deep. He's got a guy out there, and it is incomplete. Pretty well covered, but a well-thrown ball, and Desmond Robinson could not track it down, but Robinson was the only one that had a chance to catch that ball for anybody, and so the Southeast wide receiver runs back to the huddle, had a chance for a big play there. That was a well-thrown ball.
Turner Gaines, who we saw a little earlier playing a little offense, playing defense there, and he did a good job not going for the pump fake. He stayed with his man and made sure that he kept between the quarterback, Jackson.
Third and two, hand off to Washington. Washington at the line of scrimmage, breaks one tackle, and he's going to have a gain of about five. You cannot pull that kid down with an arm tackle, and the player for Burke didn't fill the hole. He was adjacent to the hole, had to reach out with one arm, and that's not going to bring down Washington, who gains 5 yards. And he's been a workhorse through the course of the playoffs here for Lincoln Southeast.
Not that big of a kid either, 5'8", 170 pounds. He's just a junior, but he runs with a lot of purpose.
So it will be first and 10 from about the 36-yard line here, 4:05 to go before halftime. Jackson gets the handoff, and he's going to be tripped up near the line of scrimmage by Benjamin Watkins, but he lunges forward and is going to end up gaining about three, and that's just the nature of Washington and how hard he runs going right up the middle. He's hit at the line of scrimmage, but he'll get that lunge and get that drive forward, and he gains three.
Yeah, and he has been described as a workhorse, and there's no question he is. He goes on the big long gains. They'll turn around. They'll give him the ball once again because they know he's going to get positive yards.
It is just short of the 40-yard line. In the I formation is going to be Washington. Jackson in under center. They'll hand the ball off to Washington. No, they fake it, and they'll come with the reverse. And there's some black jerseys out there, but a nice little juke, and then the tackle right at the 49-yard line as coming around on that reverse. I believe that is number 42, Trey Foster, and Foster flashing a little bit of speed there, and that one gained more than I kind of thought. Burke got there, but by the time Jackson was able to get that the outside and they made the tackle, that's a pretty good gain.
Yeah, it was slow developing, and that's why it didn't seem like it gained very much, but it did gain just enough to move the chains for Lincoln Southeast.
Just short of midfield, the ball at the 49-yard line, first and 10. Jackson hands to Washington. Washington nowhere to go. There was great penetration. Finally wrapping things up was Benjamin Watkins. And if Watkins missed that tackle, there was about three or four other black jerseys right there ready to pounce on Washington.
Hunter Greer is the player who had the great penetration. We already talked about his size at 6'7 and 315, but he is very quick. He was across the ball and cutting off the lane immediately, turning the running back in to the help defense.
Loss of about a foot on the play. Jackson's going to take the snap, rolls to his right, a little bit of pressure, finds an open area, throws the ball, has a man there, and it is incomplete, but a flag thrown by two different officials. There was a little bit of contact there by Omaha Burke's Turner Gaines,
And Gaines just didn't turn his head around in time. He had really good coverage, but that's a well-thrown ball that put the defensive back in a bad position. Again, a good ball, even though it was incomplete, a good ball thrown because it got the defensive back to have to make a play.
Well, that's Desmond Robinson out there, and he's already beaten you once for a touchdown. But, you know, my initial reaction was, yeah, that's a good call because I don't think the Gaines turned at the right time, and then there was contact, and it affected the opportunity for Robinson to make the catch downfield.
And we mentioned this earlier about Jackson. Sometimes it's a line drive. Sometimes it's a lob pass. That one was on a pretty good arc, and it got there so quick that really I think Gaines, who had good position, just wasn't able to turn his head at the right time. It was just a matter of timing because that ball got there so quick.
Well, now after seeing it on the replay board, I'm not as sure because it didn't look like very much contact. It was just still the fact that Gaines never did turn his head.
So ball at about the 36-yard line. I formation, so they get the first down because of the 15-yard penalty. They're going to hand the ball to Washington. Washington, he's got nowhere to go, but still slips off one tackle. And he'll get back to the line of scrimmage, maybe gain about 1 yard on the play. There wasn't much of a hole there at all. The first one there for Burke, he didn't make the tackle, but Andrew Coppa hit him in the backfield, and he slipped off of him and still ended up gaining about 2 yards. But he was on the way down after hitting Coppa.
Yeah, he slipping off is a good point, too, because he was kind of bald right there at the line of scrimmage, and he slipped out of that tackle and leaned forward.
Minute 40 to go here. Rolling out is Jackson. Jackson, again, is going to throw the ball deep, and again, pretty good coverage out there. And again, it is incomplete, trying to get it to Devontae Matlock. And again, I think really Robinson just understood, Jackson understood that there just wasn't any place to throw that football. He threw that one out of bounds.
And also maybe a little confusion on Matlock. He turned in when the pass went to the outside, so it's a possibility that he turned in when he was supposed to be going to the outside.
Well, sometimes quarterbacks will just kind of throw it out there thinking that's the only possible area where that's going to be caught, and I'm going to give Jackson enough credit to think that that's exactly what he did there. We've got a timeout on the field with a minute 33 to go here, and Southeast wants to talk about what they're going to do here on 3rd and 8 from the 34 with a minute 33 to go. They still have 2 timeouts left, so they've got plenty of time. They call a timeout, and we're going to take it with them. It's 9-7 Bulldogs, but the Knights of Lincoln Southeast are driving with a minute 33 to go here in the second. We're back after this.
It's hard to believe, but football and volleyball season are beginning to wind down, and Misco Sports on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center wants to get you ready for the postseason by closing out all of their football and volleyball apparel and equipment, now 30% off. Misco's also has Cutter's football gloves at 35% off, and don't forget this month a great deal on shoes, sandals, basketball shoes, whatever you could put on your feet, up to 50% off. And don't forget the football and volleyball closeout, 30% off all apparel and equipment now at Misco's.
Welcome back here to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln as Omaha Burke trying to withstand a little push here from Lincoln Southeast with a minute 33 to go in the second quarter. A 9-7 lead for the Bulldogs. 3rd and 8 from the 34 here for Lincoln Southeast. And in the shotgun formation is going to be Najee Jackson. Jackson takes the snap. They're trying to set the screen to throw it in underneath. It is caught right up the middle and a big gap. Running and gunning for the end zone is Sam Cotton. Cotton bounces to the outside. He'll go in for the score. What a great call and an even better throw by Najee Jackson. The defensive lineman read it, lobbed it over the top of the defensive lineman, and Sam Cotton takes it in for the touchdown.
Boy, you're absolutely right about Najee Jackson's pass. He just gets it over the defensive lineman. They all of a sudden realize this is a screen pass up the middle, and just out of the outstretched arms of Kirby LeBlanc, as they were able to get it to Cotton, and then he rambles in from, what was that, close to 30 yards out.
That was 34 yards on the touchdown. Here's the extra point attempt. The snap is down. The kick is up. It looks good from here, and the officials agree. Lincoln Southeast, 14, Omaha Burke, 9. Minute 24 to go before halftime, but Burke's got a pretty high-powered offense. They'll get the ball when Southeast kicks off right after this.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers
Quick. Move out of the way.
way, is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey, guys, Valentino's delivers!
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's and Kearney now delivers.
Well, that was a pretty football play. What's better, the call, the pass, or the block that was downfield?
Well, I'll tell you,
it set him up.
Just a great combination of making the call, first of all, to go to that center screen to the tight end, and then the pass to just get it over the outstretched arms of LeBlanc, who was trying to swat it down. And then downfield, one of the receivers did not catch his number, but when we were watching on the replay, he just went from left to right, pushing an Omaha Burke player right out of the way as Sam Cotton was running down the field.
So Colin Clare are going to kick it off here for Lincoln Southeast. We'll see what they do here. And it'll be a fairly short kick. And it's going to be picked up by one of the offbacks on the right side. Bouncing around out there is going to be Collins. Collins trying to get to the wall. And he's going to be knocked down at about the 30 and then spins forward a little bit down to the 35. They tried to throw him down. And instead, he spun out of it and gained another 5 yards. So it'll be first and 10 from the 35-yard line. So Burke has 65 yards to carry in a minute 15. But they do have 3 timeouts left. And with their high-powered offense, that is plenty of time for them to do the things that they like to do.
Yeah, they've got a strong offense that they know how to move the ball. There's no question about it. They've been able to get about 146 yards of offense so far here in the first half. So they've moved the ball very well, but time is a factor. They do have all their timeouts, though.
Cook in the shotgun, and they'll bring a guy in motion, and there's a stoppage. I haven't seen a flag. There is a timeout, I believe.
I think somebody,
yeah, Southeast,
Lincoln Southeast might have been a player short.
Well, you don't want to be shorthanded against this offense, that's for sure. Let's go back and talk a little bit about what UNK has in store on Saturday, as that matchup between Wayne State University of Michigan, the number 6 seed in the number 3 region. They'll be taking on the 4th ranked team in the state, UNK, who comes in with a record of 10-1 on the year. Kickoff set for 12 noon. The gates will open at 10:30. And again, tickets $9 for adults. Seniors over 60 and kids 18 and under are only $7, and UNK students with their ID, $2 at the door. You can get tickets through the UNK Athletic Department, or you can log online at pickmytickets.com. And again, the Lopers hoping to draw a pretty good crowd because the students are gone for Thanksgiving break, so they kind of need the community to step up in what should be a great football game. And I wouldn't be overly surprised if Kearney would host a week later, because Pueblo is going to have their hands full with Minnesota Duluth. Here we have it, first and 10 from the 34-yard line. Shotgun formation for Cook again. Pressure coming. He steps up. He's rolling. He's throwing. Has a guy in underneath, and it is incomplete at midfield. He broke a cardinal rule of football, and that's throwing the ball late over the middle. Jordan Nelson, the intended receiver, and there was a defensive back who had an angle on the football. And I'll tell you what, if Nelson doesn't go toward the ball, that's an interception.
Yeah, Cook had to get rid of the football pretty quick as Trey Foster, with a good bull rush off the right side, was pushing his man back into Cook's face. And so Cook was feeling the pressure, had to get rid of it.
You do not throw the ball late over the middle, and that's exactly what he did. But Nelson helped bail him out. Here, shotgun formation again. A little bit of pressure coming, and that time they get him. That time they swarmed him up underneath. And who makes the tackle? Is it Cotton? No, it's actually going to be one of the linebackers.
Zachary Bermude.
Yep. Yeah. And Bermude, coming from his tackle position, not the other end, but the tackle position. And we got a timeout here for Southeast with 49 seconds to go. Third and a bunch. They're calling timeout, so trying to get the ball back from Omaha Burke. That, you know, again, if you hold them here, that's good strategy. If they get a first down, you helped out a pretty high-powered offense.
Yeah, and you're forcing them to either get the first down or run the football and run the clock out. So Omaha Burke has a decision they've got to make here. Do you think you've got enough confidence in getting the pass play downfield to pick up the first down, or do you go to a running play but and just go ahead and run out the clock on the first half and go in down by five.
Well, I think I go kind of in the middle here. I think a screen.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, something like that. And if you get 15 yards, boogie for you, that's a relatively safe play. And if it doesn't work, hopefully it'll at least be caught, and then you can keep the clock running here. Let's see what they have in mind. They will go out of the shotgun, as neither team really needed the full allotment of time. Cook in the shotgun. This time has a little time to throw. He'll step up. He's throwing the ball high, and fair catching it essentially is going to be Nelson. Nelson breaks one tackle, comes back to the middle of the field as he's pulled down at about the 42-yard line. And again, he was so wide open, he literally could fair catch that ball on the near sideline, and did. He made the catch, and it'll be first and 10. Clock stopped with 39 seconds left as we move the chains here. So that play only took about 7 seconds, and now a little surprised that Burke calls the timeout here. They call timeout.
Well, now they've got the opportunity, though, to put points on the board, so they want to make sure that they've got the play that they want. Otherwise, once they got the ball set, once the chains were set, they were going to start the clock. So you got three timeouts. You might as well use one here, make sure everybody's on the same page. But I think I'll go back to that pass. That pass by Cook, I think he floated that on purpose because Nelson went down. He was the only one that knew to come back and make that play. The defenders went on downfield, and that was just a nice setup that time. He just hung it up high and hoped that Nelson would go up and get it.
I'm a little surprised that they call the timeout because you only have, you know, you had three. Now you only have two left. It kind of limits what you can do. You can't throw down the middle as much. They could have clocked it or actually ran a play. Just do it quickly. Here, quarterback has it, rolling out to his right. Cook looking. Now he's going to run. Comes back to the left side. White jersey's there. He's going to gain about 3 yards, and he's going to take about 12 seconds off the clock. And now they've got to use a timeout here. Gain of about 5 on the play, and they'll stop the clock with 28 seconds to go, and it's going to be 2nd and 5 for Omaha Burke.
Yeah, they are going to have to use that second timeout now because of the running play, and no more than 4 yards, even when you're scrambling. You've got players downfield in patterns. Throw it in their direction and kill the clock that way.
And again, you might look for Peyton Nelson, who made that catch from 29 yards out just a little bit ago, and just try to get something going.
Be interesting to know what the range of Hayden Guy is, the kicker. He missed on on an extra point, but he kicked a nice field goal earlier in this game.
Yeah, and he missed because that snap was a little bit high, and that's another aspect of high school football. You got to do a lot of things right. Right now, it'd be a 55-yard field goal. We saw a 50-yarder earlier today in the Class C1 game. But let's see what they do here on 2nd and, we'll call it 6 from the 38-yard line. Cook calling out the signals. He'll take the snap, and it's a quarterback draw. And you know, nobody's looking to throw. He throws it in underneath. It is caught and incomplete. Originally going to be caught, he fumbled it a little bit and then was almost intercepted. Running out of room was Colin Clare, who does come up with the ball, but he was well out of bounds.
Yeah, that came off the deflection of the receiver trying to make the reception downfield. It would have been good enough for the first down, but now it brings up a 3rd down and 6 situation. If you don't pick up any more yards than you do right now, you're looking at a 55-yard field goal, and that's tough range for anybody.
Yeah, that's pretty tough sledding, and you run the risk of getting that one blocked as well. So in the shotgun formation is going to be Cook. Cook takes the snap, and they have a flag that finally has landed to the turf. Far official, when he threw it high in the air, and it had pretty good hang time on it. That's got to be on the offense here. It is dead ball. Illegal procedure, and so they'll back him up 5 yards. And now any chance of incomplete pass and then you kick the field goal, that has gone astray here. And now it would be a 60-yarder. I don't think they were really looking at that anyway. So we'll call it 3rd and 11 from about the 43-yard line here for Omaha Burke. In case you're wondering, the Knights are out of timeouts with only 20 seconds to go. So I think Burke can be pretty aggressive here. Shotgun formation. Cook rolls. Pressure coming. Steps up. Breaks one tackle. He's going to have to run for it. And he'll be thrown forward for a gain of about 7 yards. It's going to set up 4th and 4. Clock still moving here. And they'll stop the clock with 7 seconds left. And timeout, last timeout of the half here for Omaha Burke.
Well, now you have options if you're the Bulldogs. You can either try a 52-yard field goal, or you just simply send Cook back and then on the fourth down play, send it long, see if you can get Peyton Nelson on a jump ball down in the end zone or draw a defensive penalty and get yourself into better field goal position.
Yeah, no reason not to. I mean, it's fourth down, southeast, probably not going to be able to chuck the ball 65 yards on the final play of the first half. The only thing I would say is I probably would have waited about 3 more seconds to call the timeout if I was going to call the timeout and make sure that Southeast doesn't touch the ball here in the rest of the first half.
And it was kind of fun to watch a couple of these Southeast coaches over here on the sideline. They're both signaling, knock the ball down.
Yeah, don't necessarily intercept it, because you run the risk of just having a tip drill. They're going to go on the I formation here and put a man in motion. They go with the old Maryland eye. Cook's under center. He's going to step back. He's going to throw. And he throws that far sideline and is going to be knocked out of bounds and incomplete with 1 second left. But there is a flag on the play. Usually where you find a hold, but I don't know if anybody hit the quarterback when he released it.
Now they're talking it over back at about the 38-yard line.
This could be huge here if it's against Southeast. Personal foul, roughing the passer.
Wow.
15 yards, automatic first down. Now, again, there's only 1 second left, and even if it was triple zeros on the clock, they would be able to come in and decide to kick or try to get 20 yards on one play. I'm kicking. If you have confidence in your field goal kicker, I think you try to grab 3 points, and they're making wholesale personnel substitutions, and they will try the field goal here.
No,
no,
are
I guess
they?
Not. No, they're going to bring out Cook, and Cook is in the shotgun formation. Final play of the first half, and Cook will take the snap. He's got time. Now pressure coming on the backside, breaks the tackle, throws into the end zone, and it's a jump ball that's tipped away and incomplete. And so we'll head to the locker room. A last gasp pass into the end zone, knocked down by the Knights, and Lincoln Southeast will head to the locker room, leading it 14-9 over the powerful offensive unit from Omaha Burke. So again, Southeast 14 and Omaha Burke 9, as we'll take a quick break when we come back. The Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report, we'll do that right after this timeout.
Attention football fans, it's that time of year again when the competition is heating up. If you want to be the ultimate tailgate grilling master, you need a Traeger wood pellet grill. You could be making bacon and biscuits before a morning game, pizza and hamburgers before the afternoon game, or take your time and enjoy smoking ribs or pork tenderloin before that evening game. The grill that can do it all, check out the new Traeger Junior Tailgate model. Stop grilling, start Traegering at Builders in Kearney.
Builders does the best.
Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game. From swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back, see Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. I'm Dave Challey at Barney Insurance. We'll provide low-cost, quality protection, claim service second to none, and if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. Stop by or give us a call at 237-2222. We're Barney Insurance.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
Randy Bushcutter and Larry Kottner with you here from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. And we have seen
A very interesting ball game, a very exciting ball game here in the first half, where Lincoln Southeast has a 14-9 lead heading into the locker room and a pass into the end zone, the final play of the first half. So we've seen a little bit of everything here in the first half, Larry.
You know, you would think that we had to have more points on the board for all the offense that we have seen in this first half, because both teams have really moved it up and down the field. The way they were scoring early on, it was 7-3 before we even played 2 minutes into the contest. It stayed 9-7 Omaha Burke for quite a while until that beautiful pass play in the last couple of minutes of the first half from Najee Jackson to Sam Cotton on the tight end screen up the middle. And defense has been there, but they've made the big plays from keeping the two teams from scoring a bunch of points here in this first half.
And all of it happened very quickly. A 14-second long scoring drive, a minute 36 scoring drive to answer back for the field goal for Omaha Burke, and then a little bit more time off the clock, their next couple of drives, about four-minute drives. But it happened so quickly that, you know, you end up with 16 points scored in the first quarter and only one touchdown scored here in the second. But the first half of the first quarter, we're just going up and down. It looked like it was going to be a track meet. Now it's kind of settled down just a little bit as defenses now have started to make some good plays.
Well, and you look at it, the two long touchdown passes for Najee Jackson for Lincoln Southeast, for Omaha Burke, both of their scores set up on good long runs by Jordan Nelson. And Nelson, along with Devin Washington for Lincoln Southeast, they're running the ball at will, both right around that 100-yard mark.
And let's give you a quick little summary of the scoring. And it began on the first offensive play of the game, where Desmond Washington got the pass from Najee Jackson for 59 yards out. One play scoring drive, and with 11:46 on the clock, it was 7-0 Lincoln Southeast. The ensuing drive by Omaha Burke only lasted a minute and 36, and it did stall about the 15-yard line, and that's where Hayden Guy hit a 32-yard field goal to make it 7-3. And then Omaha Burke, with about 4.5 minutes to go in the first quarter, had that 5-yard run from Carson Collins. Guy missed the extra point because of a high snap, and it was 9-7 Burke at that point. And the only touchdown, the only score of the second quarter, came when Sam Cotton caught the screen pass from Najee Jackson. A great throw, a great call, and Cotton made the catch and really picked up one block downfield and went in unmolested for a 34-yard score. The extra point was good, and it's 14-9, and that's where we find ourselves here at halftime at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. The Knights 14, the Bulldogs 9, and again, if you wanted a matchup, you can't ask for a lot more than the best thought of defense in Class A against the best offense in Class A. That's what we have every time the Omaha Burke has their hands on the ball, but I've been impressed with the Southeast offense as well.
Well, and I've been impressed with the Omaha Burke defense as well for keeping their team, you know, right in this game as well. And that's where this game is probably going to be won. Everybody talks about the Omaha Burke offense and the Lincoln Southeast defense, but the game is probably going to be won when Lincoln Southeast has the football and how well Burke does in holding them down. And the other difference is the kicking game. We have seen some good returns for Lincoln Southeast. Omaha Burke has not had probably as good of returns, but at the same time, they've got the field goal. And, you know, so you look at the kicking game, I think that's going to be a factor too. We haven't seen a lot of punts in this game, but I think it will be a factor later on.
And again, two punts for Southeast, one from Omaha Burke, so three punts so far in the game, if that gives you an indication of how the offenses have done pretty well. 217 yards of offense for Lincoln Southeast, 182 for Omaha Burke here at halftime. So right at 400 yards of total offense, and who thought that it'd be Southeast that would have the better offensive output? You might, because, again, the expectation for the Omaha Burke defense isn't as good as their expectations for their offense. So it's been an intriguing matchup. Really, doesn't matter who has the ball.
Well, looking at this game, when it started out 7-3 in the first 2 minutes, I started looking through here to find out what the highest scoring Class A state championship game was. And surprisingly enough, 63 points combined is the highest in any Class A state championship game. at a game I happened to have been at back in 1990 when Grand Island hosted Papillion La Vista in the state championship, won by Papillion La Vista 42-21.
There you go. There's the answer to that one. There's a lot of expectations in this game. You know, again, Omaha Burke undefeated, top-ranked all season long, but they find themselves down by five. And I'm a little surprised when they had the ball with the last play of the first half with just a couple seconds left. They had the ball at the 20-yard line. I really am surprised that they didn't kick the field goal and find themselves down by only two, potentially, instead of being down by a full touchdown.
What was the distance on the first field goal that Guy put through there? Because I thought 37 yards
32.
Would probably, yeah, that's another 5 yards. Why don't you at least take the points, get yourself back within two, and carry that momentum on in to the half? Plus then, at the same time, you get the football to start the second half.
Right, so you have the opportunity. And again, they have the opportunity to get the lead here because they're down only by five, but they still would need a touchdown. And obviously, you'd rather be in a situation where a field goal would give you the lead. Now, it's early to be thinking about that. I mean, if there was 2 minutes left to go or 4 minutes left to go in the game, you think about that a little bit differently. It might be a little early to think about that. But again, I'd like to be able to have that field goal be the difference in the game. So I was a little surprised, but I guess if you're thinking as highly of your offense as probably Omaha Burke thinks of theirs, that you might decide that you want to do that. So, again, I just thought it was an interesting decision, and it's one of those things, if it works, you're brilliant, and if it doesn't work, then everybody scratches their head.
Well, and the having the ball to start the second half has been a little bit, I guess, not that big a thing here at the state meet, at the state tournament this weekend, because yesterday, Sargent, they fumbled the second half kickoff, and Howells got it, went down and scored, but they still, Sargent still won the game, and today, Kearney Catholic recovers a fumble from David City Aquinas on the second half kickoff. They go down and score, but still Aquinas won the game. So
and
maybe that's a little blown out of proportion.
And Platteview, the first game of the day, that's kind of when things started to snowball against them. They had the lead, and they fumbled their first drive of the second half. So, you're right. You may not want to really bank in on scoring points because teams have not fared well their first drive of the second half. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when we kick this thing off for the second half here in about 11 minutes. So we'll total up some numbers. We'll take a look at those. When we continue with the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report, Ravenna Sanitation says your trash is our treasure, serving Buffalo County for business or residential service. Ravenna Sanitation is your trash collection connection. Find us in your local Yellow Pages. We'll take a quick break, and we'll continue with our halftime right after this.
It's fall, and we Nebraskans are serious about our football. We pay attention to the punts, the passes, the tackles, and the touchdowns. Same thing goes for hassle-free at the Midway Auto Group. Folks at Midway care about every aspect of your buying and ownership experience. You find our lowest prices right there in the window. And when you purchase, you can get a free year of routine maintenance and free car washes for life. Hassle-free. It's a big deal at the Midway Auto Group on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or online at thinkmidway.com. Think hassle-free. Think Midway.
At Five Points Bank of Hastings, you have access to the most effective and efficient banking tools available.
You can access your account information at any time from anywhere through your computer, your smartphone, or our 24-hour 800 star phone service.
Additionally, we invite you to try our online bill pay service, a great way to schedule and pay your bills online without the hassle of writing checks and buying stamps.
We are proud to offer these advanced banking services. Five Points Bank of Hastings, member FDIC.
Family Physical Therapy knows everyone has an ow. Once in a while, you might sustain an injury during competition or strain your knee or back doing chores at home. Your job now is to come up with a story to tell your friends.
Yeah, I was kickboxing in Japan.
It's Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center's job to get you back to the game of life. There's one near you in Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, Lexington, and now Wood River. If you have an ow, tell your doctor you want Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center to rehab you back to the game of life.
Welcome back here to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Lincoln Southeast, with a 14-9 lead over Omaha Burke here at halftime. Let's take a look at both the individual and team statistics. Lincoln Southeast has the advantage in first downs, 9-7 over Omaha Burke. For the Southeast offense, they've carried the ball 18 times for 117 yards. They're also 5 of 9 in the air with one interception for 100 yards. So a total of 217 yards of offense. penalties, 2 of 24, and they have carried the ball. They've had the possession of the ball for 13 minutes and 29 minutes here of the first half. For Southeast, Devin Washington has carried the ball 15 times for 101 yards. Trey Foster, 1 carry for 10. Levi Gilbert, 2 carries for 6 yards. Leading receiver for the Knights is Desmond Robinson, 2 catches for 62 yards and a touchdown. Sam Cotton, 1 catch for 34 yards on that screen, also a touchdown. And Trey Foster, 1 out of 5 receiving. He caught 1 pass for 5 yards. And Devontae Madlock, 1 catch, actually lost a yard on the play. And for Southeast, 2 players have thrown the football. Najee Jackson is 5 of 8 in the air for an even 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 59 yards, his longest pass. Remember that halfback pass by Devin Washington near the goal line that was intercepted. That a big play in the game as it flipped the field a little bit and kept Southeast from having a bigger lead than just 5 points here in the game. That one was intercepted in the end zone. So that's one of the few mistakes here for Lincoln Southeast here in the first half. That's their only turnover, was that interception, but it was in the end zone. For Omaha Burke, as we mentioned, 7 first downs here in the first half. They've carried the ball 17 times for 114 yards. They're 4 of 11 in the air with 1 interception for 68 yards. So 28 offensive plays for 182 yards in the game. And as we mentioned, they did turn the ball over one time. They've had a 3 out of 7 on third down efficiency compared to Lincoln Southeast, who was 4 out of 7. Throwing the football for Omaha Burke, Zachary Cook is 4 of 11 in the air. 1 interception, is only got 68 yards here at intermission. And 29 of those came on a pass to Zach Oliver, where he kind of lobbed it in the on the right side there. Jordan Nelson has carried the ball 9 times for 91 yards. Carson Collins, 4 carries for 14 yards. And Zachary Cook, 4 carries for 9 yards. Again, total offense here for Lincoln Southeast, 217 yards. Omaha Burke, 182. Our halftime score, it's 14-9. Lincoln Southeast with the lead over Omaha Burke. We're going to take a quick break, and Bob Jensen going to join us as we continue the recitation halftime report right after this.
Every morning, the sun greets you. As reliable as a train heating and cooling system. Well, almost. Because no matter the temperature outside, it's always perfect inside. And when the sun calls it a day, a train system is there to say goodnight. Heating, cooling, and beyond.
Coverage of state football is presented in part by Midwest Heating and Air of Grand Island. Your comfort is their business, Midwest Heating and Air.
It's hard to stop a train.
Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game. From swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back. See Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Welcome back to Memorial Stadium, 14-9. Lincoln Southeast with the lead over Omaha Burke. And kind enough to join us from the Huskerland Prep Report is Bob Jensen. Bob, first of all, let's talk a little Class A here. What's your impressions of the first half? Little surprise Southeast is offensively moving the ball as effectively as they have.
Not necessarily. I tell you what, there's a lot of explosive playmakers on the field right now. There's 3 or 4 kids on either team that are capable of making a play from anywhere on the field. I'm a little surprised it's only 14-9. I wouldn't have surprised me to see another touchdown or two on the board. I wouldn't be surprised to see it open up more in the second half.
Well, and again, there was that turnover in the end zone where Southeast threw the football in the end zone with a halfback pass. Again, that would change the game dramatically, and I think Omaha Burke would open things up because they have some other things. They haven't really had a real aggressive play calling just yet. They do so many different things. They haven't really opened things up just yet. And had they been down a little bit more, they probably would have opened up the offense, I would think.
Yeah, I would say that's legit. I don't know. I've seen Burke I've seen him 4 times this year, and I've seen Southeast a couple times. And every time that I've seen either one of them, they've made big plays. You know that I love the play call to open the game, the long pass.
Yeah.
I do know this much, that 2 can't cover Desmond Robinson. The kid from Burke just didn't have a chance. They've got a different kid in there trying it now. But there's plays out there, and, yeah, there's some drives that didn't get finished, but there's going to be some points scored.
Well, we were looking it up. 63 is the most points ever in a Class A final, and we were in early pace, you know, to have that in the early part of the first half. That's for sure. Have you seen kind of a theme this year? It almost seems like sometimes the finals all kind of end up with kind of a theme a little bit. Has there been a theme in your sense?
Well, yesterday it was Upset City. I mean, the teams that really weren't expected to win won all three. And today, you know, we've kind of got a little more normalcy. We've kind of come in, you know, with what people expected. Burke is the favorite in this game. But, you know, nobody's going to doubt Southeast simply because this looks a lot like we've all seen the old Southeast teams, and this looks a lot like them. Big in the line, strong with playmakers. It's about every position. So as far as the theme, yeah, yesterday was there were some big upsets, and then today maybe not so much.
Bob, a lot of people talk about Sam Cotton. He's going to be Division I prospect, but I take a look at the people they've got coming back. Najee Jackson, Devin Washington, Desmond Robinson, all at the skill positions. This is going to be a very good Southeast team again next year with a lot of coaches looking at them.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just it. Connor, the thing that made this team was those three kids. Because even in their darkest days here a couple years ago, Southeast has had some kids in the line that could play and whatnot. But you have three kids like this show up in, you know, three obviously very critical offensive positions. They're all outstanding players. They all are fast, and they give they give the team an element that they just hadn't had for a little bit, and now they do, and you see what they're capable of.
Randy Bushcutter, Larry Cotner, and Bob Jensen from the Huskerland Prep Report with you here. Again, it's 14-9, Lincoln Southeast with a lead over Omaha Burke here in the Class A Finals. I know you talked to Doug and Daddy earlier during one of their games. Process for me a little bit what we saw in the C2 final. What do you kind of think of the field, the ratings and that sort of thing, and the reaction to how Aquinas really handled business today against Kearney Catholic?
Well, as far as the game went, Aquinas did just enough. They did, but they did just enough exactly when they had to. We all saw the game. It wasn't like they made a million plays, but they made every play they had to. And Kearney Catholic didn't hardly make any of the plays that it needed to. And as a result, you know, when you talk about overall in C2, which has just been a fabulous, this has been a great, this has been the best year for C2 that I can remember. And, of course, I have a little trouble remembering what I had for lunch, so that may not be as grand a statement as I want it to be. But, honestly, a team like St. Cecilia, who went into the postseason rated number one, when you start connecting the dots, you can see that team rated six before, you know, when the ratings come out, because you've got to make room for these other teams that really made a run in the playoffs.
Well, obviously you got to go Aquinas one, and then where you go from there, it's really kind of a pick'em. You could certainly make the case that Kearney Catholic belongs there. You can certainly make the case that St. Pat's belongs there. Crofton only lost one game all year. I mean, there are a lot. There's a lot of balance there.
Yeah, you've got them in order, I think. See, Lincoln Christian played Aquinas real well in their semifinal. Scored some points on them, which nobody had done. You know, Kearney Catholic, the book shows they scored 13 points. I think anybody who watched the game knows they scored seven. But the point is that, you know, Lincoln Christian's a wild card in this whole deal. Because I'll be honest, I questioned Lincoln Christian's schedule. And, they were winning, but I wasn't sure against who. So when they played Aquinas tough, you know, that's how a team like St. Cecilia could wind up sixth. Because, let's connect the dots, St. Pat's beat them, Kearney Catholic beat them, Aquinas beat them. Well, you're four deep before you consider a team like Lincoln Christian. The point is that it's just been a great year for C2. I mean, it really has.
Well, we got a lot more to go in this Class A final as well.
One last thing I got to ask you, Bob. I know you lived up in Custer County for a little while. Yesterday had to be probably the greatest day in Custer County football since the 1980s.
Well, it was a great day to be a Sergeant Bulldog. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, Larry, you and I, we go way back, and we go way back up there. And I agree. I mean, the general consensus, you know, there was a lot of talk amongst the people that I've talked to, probably you guys too, about the game itself. But the number one thing I heard about since that game's got over is nobody's ever seen a sideline celebration like that. I mean, those people were out of their mind. It's one of those deals. You know, Mike Colgill, who said about maybe three things in his life that I thought were interesting, he said one of them last night. He said that, you know, it's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to say we practiced hard. It's another thing to say we really are focused and all. Well, none of that matters if you don't play the game. And they came out and played in a very measured way. They played with great intensity, but they weren't all jumping up and down. It was like they expected to do well, and they expected to win. I'm sure they expect to win, but they expected to do well. And when things went well, they weren't surprised, and that was a real sign for me.
Bob, as usual.
Oh yeah, Bush.
Thank
it's
you.
Always nice to be on, Connor.
Good to see you, Bob.
You know it.
All right, we're going to take one last break. We'll have the second half kickoff. 14-9, Southeast with the lead. Bulldogs will get the kickoff when we come back right after this.
New Tech is proud to support high school sports. New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
ProTeam Design is the name you need to know for quality screen printing and embroidery, plus experienced and friendly service. No matter what the sport, special occasion, or business need, the staff at ProTeam Design can help you by providing unique and creative designs, your favorite brands like Adidas, Mizuno, Nike, and Wilson, and our specialty on-time order delivery. No job is too big or too small, so call us today for a free price quote. ProTeam Design, 2716 Old Fair Road in Grand Island, 308-398-1154, or check us out on the web at proteamdesign.com.
You've been listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Ravenna Sanitation says your trash is our treasure. Serving Buffalo County for business or residential service, Ravenna Sanitation, your trash collection connection. Find us in your local Yellow Pages. It is Southeast teeing things up here. They're going to kick the ball off deep, I would assume anyway. Putting his foot into it is going to be Colin Clare. A little bit of a line drive kick, and it is angling. Did he get the pylon? No, it went out of bounds at the one-yard line. And so that'll be a legal procedure and give Burke fairly good field position here. And what a difference a yard makes. They say it's a game of inches. That was about 36 inches away from being a perfect kickoff.
Yeah, instead of getting right into the end zone, they're having it out at the 20-yard line or forcing the return man to try to make a return from that corner, it's going to be Omaha Burke's ball out at the 35-yard line.
So, in a sense, that'll be a 15-yard penalty. And Burke, who drove the ball their last possession, got the ball down to the 20 and threw it into the end zone, the final play of the first half. They'll resume business a little bit further back, 45 yards away from where they ended up. And they have it now first and 10 from the 35-yard line. Quick little pitch back to the tailback, and not much room to run there at all for Jordan Nelson. But Nelson finds just enough of a seam and unstack it, and he has the ball near the 40-yard line. Gain of about, we'll call it about 4.5.
Yeah, he really did a good job of just leaning forward once he felt the contact. And he actually picked up about 2.5 yards after Sam Cotton made the stop.
You know, Cotton stopped his forward progress, and then it was an arm wrestling match, and Cotton doesn't lose too many of those. He's a pretty big, strong kid. That's why Nebraska's looking at him. Well, then, you know, Dad. But here we go. It's a handoff right up the middle, now bouncing to the outside and met right at the 40-yard line. Is going to be the tailback, Carson Colling, and Colling gains maybe about 1 yard on the play. That hole closed very quickly.
One thing about tonight, it's a lot better night for football than we had here last night, where it was a lot chillier and a little bit more moisture in the air. Here tonight, we've just got a great night for football, and both teams will have a better opportunity of securing the football. You don't have that cold weather making the added nasty negative play.
And that moisture is what really chills the hands and makes holding on the football a little bit hard. In the shotgun formation here is going to be Cook. Cook hands the ball off on a little counter, and coming across there is going to be Carson Colling. And Colling is going to gain a good solid 8, maybe 9 yards on the play. First and 10 here for Omaha Burke. That a big conversion here. Their first drive of the second half, trailing it 14-9. Now 10:35 to go.
Colling did just a great job of following his blocks and picking his holes and just moving forward and getting the good game.
Nice counter action on that as well. It just it got the defensive lineman moving a little bit to their left, and then the run comes off a little bit to their right. So nice little design there on the play. They're going to go with the eye, pitch the ball back out. Dancing around out there is going to be Nelson, and Nelson just lunges forward, just power football here, and he's going to gain 5, maybe 6 yards as they pulled a couple of guards and had a fullback over there, and you just we're going to come hit you right in the mouth, and about 5 yards later, it's second and 5.
Yeah, it's almost like the coaching staff for Omaha Burke at halftime said, okay, let's strap on those chin straps and let's go out and do a little bit of power football and see if we can match up that strength that Lincoln Southeast has been offering up front.
So in under center this time is going to be Cook, and Cook just going to pitch the ball back. That's going to be Nelson, and Nelson met after a gain maybe about 1, and there's an entire meeting there of both football teams right at the 45-yard line. That hole closed, and helmets come falling off, and I'll tell you, this is a hard-hitting slobber knocker out there as these two teams very physical, and it's a lot of mano-a-mano out there right now, a lot of machismo going on for both these two teams.
Well, and he was very fortunate to get the ball back to Colling as it looked like the quarterback, Zachary Cook, actually lost his footing on that pitch.
They'll hand the ball off to Carson Colling, and Colling going to get about half of what he needed on third and about 4. So that's going to set up 4th and 2 from near midfield, and both teams making wholesale personnel substitutions. So I'm sure we're going to see a punt here. The punter for Burke is on the field, and he's going to be in kick formation. Cody Ledger is in punt formation. Back deep for Southeast is going to be Dragoo. And Dylan Dragoo standing at about the 8-yard line. And a last-minute substitute. They're going to go with a little bit tighter formation here for Omaha Burke. They sense a little bit of pressure coming from Southeast, so they tighten up their formation. And they get a pretty good snap. High kick floating in the air. And Dragoo picks it up at about the 13-yard line, and he is met almost immediately. Gets out to maybe the 15 as they kind of have a arm wrestling match there. He eventually goes out of bounds. Gain of 2 on the return, and a good solid kick from near midfield. And the Knights will have their first possession of the second half here, leading it 14-9 with 8:08 to go in the third quarter.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Lincoln Southeast comes up with here on their first offensive possession. First one of the game was a doozy when they went downfield with the long pass off play action. I would not look for them to do it here. I think they'll probably just go with that simple running attack that's been successful from Devin Washington.
And again, not a bad little drive there for Omaha Burke. They didn't get any points, but you're also worrying a little bit about the field position game, which I didn't think we would be talking about at all. I thought we were just going to have really a shootout in this one, and whoever touches the ball last might win it kind of deal. And now we're talking a little bit more about that because the defenses for both teams have kind of stiffened from time to time. First and 10 from the 15-yard line. Hand off, that's going to be Washington. Washington at about the 17-yard line. He's going to be enveloped there by Mitch Huff, among others, the linebacker coming up there for Omaha Burke as well. Nice defensive stop there as they're just whatever was in there just kind of sealed up very quickly.
I believe that was Matthew Pastillo that came in there, 5'11", 180-pound sophomore, helping out on the defensive end. And, you know, really, we talked about the fact that the more points on the board, that favors Omaha Burke's game. The lower points, of course, will favor Lincoln Southeast, and that's why they're ahead so far, up 5-14-9.
Washington in the eye. They fake the handoff to him. Pass in the middle and hit in stride. What a great throw and caught by Devontae Madlock. Wow, Najee Jackson threw that on a rope, and reeling it in is Madlock, who comes up with a huge play.
We see guys on Saturday that don't throw the football that well. He zipped that one right on in there to Madlock for the first down.
That was a beautiful pitch and catch, and a big gainer as they get the ball just short of midfield at the 48-yard line. That's a 38-yard throw, and you're not going to see too many throws better than that one. First and 10 here for the Knights. I formation. In under center is Jackson. Jackson hands it off. Big hole right up the middle. Washington. Washington knocked down at about the 40-yard line. Gain of about 13 on the play. And Southeast will move the chains again.
Well, this Lincoln Southeast team really has a lot of weapons offensively themselves. I've been just as impressed with their offense as Omaha Burke's in this game so far.
I would echo that. Just inside of 7 minutes, they'll wind the clock here, and the Knights trying to add to a five-point lead. They've got it first and 10 from the 40-yard line. Two wideouts to the right. Washington is in the eye. Under center is Jackson. Jackson will pitch it to Washington. Washington, a couple of lead blockers, cuts back to the inside, had a little seam, and I'll tell you what, the touchdown is saved by Kirby LeBlanc because he had a couple of lead blockers out there, and somehow LeBlanc slipped between those two lead blockers and pulled him down. A nice gain on the play of right at 10 yards. They might even measure here. And I thought that was well run, well executed, and Southeast, Burke rather, is fortunate that didn't go for a touchdown.
Yeah, Southeast doing a great job right now up front, moving the football. They've passed just great balance, both running and passing on this opening drive.
They do move the chain, so that is a gain of 10. In the eye again is Washington, and they'll hand the ball off to him. Right up the middle, goes off the center, and he gets about maybe 1 yard on the play, so it'll be second and 9. Not much of a seam to run through there. And again, Thurber helping to lead the tackle here for Omaha Burke.
Washington now over 120 yards, 126. 127 now with that 1 yard gain on 19 carries.
My apologies, it wasn't Nicholas Thurber, but Mitchell McCann making the tackle. They have two number 43s on the roster here, and I was thinking McCann hasn't done much tonight. That's because I'm looking at the wrong number 43. I formation, they hand it to Washington. Washington, nice little cut back in the middle, has a little seam. He's going to gain about 8 yards. That play was designed to go a little bit further out. He's felt the opening to his left and cut back into the lane, and that's a pretty good cutback for a guy that doesn't mind being a power runner. Devin Washington can do a little bit of both.
Picks up almost 8 yards on that particular play, and he just, again, following those big guys up front. We really haven't talked much about them, but they have done a great job of moving the Bulldog defensive line back.
Third and 1. They've already driven for 64 yards on this drive. They give it to Washington. Cutback has enough for the first down. Breaks a tackle at about the 8-yard line or about the 15-yard line. And he's going to be down to about the 13. First and 10 here for Lincoln Southeast. They have chewed up over 8 minutes on this drive and moved the chains at least one more time with 4:50 to go here. This is their first drive of the second half. And Lincoln Southeast drives like this. What win you state championships?
Washington makes great decisions with the football. Didn't need much of a seam, didn't have much of a seam, but he found it in a hurry.
Well, nothing but positive plays on this drive, really. They hand the ball off right up the middle to Washington. Washington spins, breaks one tackle, lunges forward to about the 5-yard line, and that doesn't look like much of a fancy play, but it gains a good solid 8 yards, and it's going to set them up with a short field here as it's going to be second and 1.5 yards from the 5-yard line.
As we mentioned, it's those big guys up front that really are helping to get things done, too. Guys like Aaron Bubb and Gerald Foster, some of those guys up front that are pushing back the Omaha Burke defensive front.
They're going to they have a little stoppage of play here. I don't know exactly what they're working on. They're working on one of the helmets or some of the equipment here for Lincoln Southeast. We have officials timeout. We'll remind you the coverage of the 2011 Nebraska State Football Playoffs brought to you in part by Misco Sports and Kearney. Misco's been keeping us better equipped for the games we play for years now. Go see them on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center and get your game on now at Misco's. Get yourself some loafer gear for the playoff game on Saturday. They'll kick that off at noon against Wayne State University of Michigan. And, of course, if you're making that transition to the winter sports season, they can get you all geared up there at Misco Sports. Second and 2 from the 5-yard line. Two tight ends. Hand off to the fullback right up the middle, and I'll tell you what, a little bit of a line surge there. Did he slip through there? He got in for the touchdown. They had him all bottled up there and spinning through and
finally getting the touchdown for Lincoln Southeast is Levi Gilbert. And I thought Gilbert was tied down for a gain of only one. They allowed the play to go, and he spun through for the touchdown.
Yeah, he just kept moving the pile a little bit, not much, but he was still going forward. And when he slipped out of the tackle, he fell forward and just over the goal line for the touchdown.
And again, I gave up on it, and I, quite frankly, I think Omaha Burke did as well. They kind of thought we had it all stopped there. The guy that did not stop moving was Levi Gilbert, and he goes in for the score. So a five-yard touchdown. Now the extra point. Pretty good pressure being put on, but the kick is up, and it is good. So the Knights, their first drive of the second half, they go the length of the field, and they push the lead out to 12. It's Lincoln Southeast 21, Omaha Burke 9, with 3:53 to go here in the ball in the third quarter, a 4-minute and 15-second-long drive that covers 85 yards, and the Knights lead it by a dozen. We'll take a break. We're back after this.
I have always said that I'm a Nebraska Farm Bureau member because it gives me, as a farmer, a voice in the legislature and in Washington, D.C. But did you know what your Buffalo County Farm Bureau does for you in your own backyard? By giving scholarships to local kids, supporting the Buffalo County Fair and 4-H programs, or tackling zoning concerns and other local issues. Farm Bureau starts right here. That's why I'm a proud Farm Bureau member.
Call Buffalo County Farm Bureau and rediscover your grassroots power.
Well, Southeast making the statement, and more importantly, eating up some clock and scoring some points. With 3:53 to go here, third quarter, Omaha Burke can play their game. I mean, there's plenty of possessions left, but now they're down by two touchdowns here in the ballgame. They're down by a dozen. So field goals aren't going to do them a whole lot of good from this point on. And that's because they gave up a potential for a field goal last play of the first half. And I have a feeling if I'm Omaha Burke head coach Paul Lamonghi, I'm kind of wishing I had those 3 points back.
Yeah, I think at least the opportunity to try that field goal. And speaking of on that extra point, got to give a lot of credit to Tanner Morton, the holder. He had it was a bad snap, and he did a tremendous job to get that down for the kicker.
Well, here we got the kickoff from Claire, and this time he's going to go more toward the middle of the field, and it is picked up at about the 10-yard line. Dancing around is going to be Washington, and not Washington, rather, but Trey Carr. And Carr, nifty little return. Again, he got the ball right on the numbers here and stayed between the numbers and the sideline, and that's only about 15, 20 yards. He went right up the middle, did a little bouncing around, and they're showing a replay right now on the big screen of the hold, and you're right, that was a brilliant hold. And we do have a flag on the play. I'm talking about holding. That'll be a penalty against Omaha Burke here on the return. That'll be a hold, and that'll set them back from where that flag was thrown at about the 37-yard line.
Yeah, I was looking at that one, that hold on the extra point from the long angle, and I noticed something really was out of time. But, boy, that was even more fantastic when you see it from the side angle. That thing skipped twice back to him.
And they're still talking about where to spot the football here from where that flag was thrown. And they still have not spotted the ball just yet. Now they're moving and they're doing it. And they'll move the ball to the 25-yard line. So it'll be first and 10 here for Omaha Burke from the 25-yard line. And we were talking about the field goal earlier. Let the record show that if they did get those 3 points, still be a 9-point ball game, still be a two-possession game at this point. But it just changes what those possessions are and what they mean. So Burke right now need to get something going offensively. Zachary Cook will be in that pistol formation. He'll take the snap. He's going to throw the ball out to the outside. Has a man there. It is tipped and incomplete. A well-thrown ball over there, but I'll tell you what, that was great defense by Dragoo as the ball really was caught for a moment, and then Dragoo was able to slap it away from the intended receiver on that far sideline over there. And I'm still trying to get the number for Burke, who was trying to make that catch, and it's knocked away from Kirby Peyton Nelson.
Yeah, Peyton Nelson waiting for that one. I think Cook had that one float a little bit on him, Randy, and had that got out there a little bit quicker, Nelson had the step. Dragoo, though, did a good job of recovering, and knocking that ball away.
Maryland Eye, they're going to pitch the ball back out. There's a flag on the play and finally going out of bounds after a gain of about 5 yards. So this is going to come back. There's a flag on the play, and Carson Collins with a lead block there. Jordan Nelson coming up, and I don't know if the flag is on Collins, but there was a hold there.
Yeah, usually in the area where you'll see holding.
This is their second hold. They had a hold on the kickoff, and now they have a hold here on second down. Oh, they're going to call a legal procedure.
We didn't see very many flags in the first half, but right now Burke has been haunted by a couple of them here at the start of this drive.
Their fifth flag of the game, two of them coming here in the third quarter. Only two penalties against Southeast so far here in the ball game, and Omaha Burke has got to get something positive going here. They nothing else, they need to kind of prime the pump and start feeling good about themselves, because with 3:32 to go in the third quarter and down by 12 points, they need to at least feel good. They need points as well, don't get me wrong, but they need to feel a little bit more confidence in their offense.
They scored the first two times they had the ball, but since then they've moved the ball okay, but they haven't been able to cash in any points.
Burke steps up, Cook rather steps up, throws to Peyton Nelson, delivers a good ball, nice gain on the play of about 13 yards, and that's going to set up third and very manageable here. Just a quick little strike, and I'll tell you what, Peyton Nelson not afraid after he makes the catch of putting his head down, because he ran into traffic to try to gain some extra yards.
Peyton Nelson, hard to believe he's just a freshman, 6'1", 165-pounder. They list him as a quarterback. But right now, he's a, kind of a Jamal Turner quarterback. They're going to use him as a receiver.
Oh, they hand that ball off, and a run blitz by Lincoln Southeast, and just absolutely eating him up and then spitting him out is going to be Trey Foster. And Foster, he is pumped, and he makes a great defensive play. Loss on the play. It's a punting situation here for Omaha Burke.
Trey Foster's done a great job of getting penetration. That time he, along with Bermude, were able to get in there and meet the running back and knock him down for a loss.
I don't think that was a read. I think that was a run blitz, and they got it exactly in the right spot. I'll tell you what, if that's just a defensive play and not a set play by Trey Foster, that is an outstanding play any way you slice it, but even better if that was a read. So punt formation, a little bit of a high snap, and then they back off a little bit. So a little bit of a rugby-style punt, and it hit one of the Burke players, I believe. And now you're going to have a late hit, and they do throw the flag. It took a while for the flag to come out, but after making the fair catch, Cameron Bodfield hit the return man. It didn't hit him hard, but the play was dead, and then you hit him.
Did he signal for the fair catch, though?
Oh, if he hadn't, he still kneeled with the football.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought at least he kneeled with the ball, which means you're down in high school football.
They are going to call the 15-yard penalty, and again, that's right. And I don't know if they'll show the replay. Yeah, they will show it up here on the big screen.
No, he didn't.
No fair catch, but he caught it and was on his knees when he made the catch. He just didn't want it to roll too far. In any event, he was clearly down. I mean, it was clearly down. So I think that's the right call. And with 2:05 to go here in the third quarter, now the Knights are going to get a little bit better field position. You tack on the 15 yards, and the ball is spotted at the 44-yard line. And they've moved the ball very effectively. With 2:05 to go here, third quarter, they just moved the ball for 4.5 minutes and drove it 65 yards a little bit ago. And now they'll try to tack on some more points and eat up a little bit more clock. In under center is Najee Jackson. Jackson will hand the ball off to Devin Washington. Washington right up the middle. Not much of a seam there at all. Gain maybe of about 2 yards. And the Burke defense, they've got to make a stand here.
Mitchell McCann in there making the stop. And this is very important for Omaha Burke right now, because the clock is not in their favor. We're running down the end of the third quarter. They cannot give up a score to Lincoln Southeast.
Absolutely not. They need to kind of get things all cleared up here with 1.5 minutes to go. And so there's only 13.5 minutes left to go in this ball game. And as a result of that, they just
need to start winning some field position battles here. They'll put a man in motion. Under center is Jackson. Hand it off to the fullback. Right up the middle. Quick little hitter by Gilbert. Gilbert bounces to the outside, and he's going to gain about 13 yards on the play. First and 10 here for Southeast. Another good call, that quick little hitter by your fullback.
Boy, I tell you, Gilbert showing the effort again that he showed earlier on the touchdown run, not going down on the simple tackles. You've got to get him wrapped up before he's going to go down, and he did a good job of picking up that first down. Gilbert, he is one of the seniors on this Southeast team.
So first and 10 from the 41-yard line, inside of 1 minute to go in the third quarter. Knights lead it 21-9. In the I formation is Jackson. He'll hand it to Washington. Washington is wrapped up in the backfield. Defensively for Burke, that was a great surge there by Jeremy Queen, who came in from his corner position on that backside on the corner blitz.
Yeah, one of the few times here tonight that Devin Washington did not pick up positive yards, loses a yard on the play.
Washington on the game, 23 carries, 152 yards. He's done everything but score here in the ball game. Southeast with a 12-point lead, and this perhaps the last play of the third quarter. I formation, Jackson's going to drop back. He's going to throw. As a man, throws it in the middle, and that was a very dangerous pass that is incomplete, almost intercepted by Cameron Bodfield as he threw a frozen rope right through the middle, but there were three black jerseys there and only one white one for Lincoln Southeast. So that was a dangerous pass, and Jay Jackson almost wrote a check with his arm that his throw couldn't cash.
Well, Jackson, he realizes his mistake. He never saw Bodfield. He was looking in to Sam Cotton all the way and never saw Bodfield coming from the other direction. And was very lucky he didn't get that one picked off.
Third and 11 from the 42-yard line. Shotgun formation. Jackson's going to keep it, and he's going to be wrapped up, pulled down from behind. And did he slip out of there? It looked to me like maybe the ball came loose for a little bit. But it is going to be a short gain on the play by Najee Jackson, and the defense for Burke is going to hold here as he gains only a couple of yards. And so it's going to set up fourth down when we start the fourth quarter. It's Lincoln Southeast 21 and Omaha Burke 9, 12 minutes to decide the Class A state championship, and we've got a 12-point ball game. We'll have what I assume to be a punt from Lincoln Southeast when we come back after this.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
The most recommended, by far, Houston's Body Shop. That's who we are. Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended, Houston's Body Shop. That's who we are.
And welcome back here to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. Lincoln Southeast with a 21-9 lead over Omaha Burke. And we're only one quarter away from the 2011 football season being over with for high school ball. And, oh, we're going to miss you, football. We're going to miss you.
August 25th is when it all started. It just seems like a couple of weeks ago, Randy.
Well, yeah, now we got it fourth and nine here for Lincoln Southeast, and I'll tell you what, they're in pretty good shape here, but we know that Burke offense can be very explosive, but Southeast has done a pretty good job of running with the football, but they've got to punt it away here. They got a couple guys back, and they a little token pressure here. Rugby-style punt, basically. It bounces at about the 10-yard line, and it takes a very good Lincoln Southeast bounce. It's going to be down at about the 3-yard line. And I'll tell you what, that pretty good special teams play here for Lincoln Southeast as they down the ball inside the 5-yard line.
Trying to catch that number, but I believe that.
I didn't get
really
it either.
Sure.
Yeah, I didn't get the number either.
Is that Colin Clare, 22? Sure looks like it.
might be. He's the other kicker. He's the kicker and not the punter. But that ball is down at about the 3-yard line. Pretty good hustle on the play. And so a long way to go here for Omaha Burke. They've got to cover 97 yards, and they don't need all of them this drive, but they've got to get a chunk of them. Now that pistol formation is going to be Burke, and they throw the ball in the middle, and it's tipped and incomplete. Not a bad throw, but well covered. They tried to get the ball out here for Peyton Nelson, but that coverage for Southeast was stellar. And again, Dylan Dragoo has done a pretty good job of slowing down Peyton Nelson here in the ballgame.
Yeah, he's done a good job of going up there and slapping the ball away. He's got an interception from earlier in the game, and he has done a great job against the freshman in the one-on-one situation.
And again, been a relatively quiet night here for the Omaha Burke passing attack, as Cook is only 5 of 14. A little run on that right side. Nice little gain of about 8 yards on that far corner over there as they ran a little bit more impetus, running a little bit quicker here as Omaha Burke and Jordan Nelson picks up a good about 8 yards.
You know, Jordan Nelson had a lot of yards early in this game, as much as 91 on about 5 carries. And since then, you know, he's only picked up about 20 yards on an 8-4 carry. So Lincoln Southeast has done a great job of shutting him down.
Well, he'll help his numbers there a little bit with a gain of about 9. That's going to set up 3rd and 1 from about the 11-yard line. This is huge here, and they'll hand the ball off, and enough room for a first down there as Jordan Nelson just follows his blocks on that right side, just goes off tackle, and that's just power football. Gains 5 yards on the play. We'll stop the clock with 11:33 to go here. Fourth quarter, 21-9. Southeast with the lead, and Omaha Burke trying to drive here as they go no huddle and hurry up. Shotgun formation. Calling out the count is going to be Cook out of that pistol formation, I guess. And he's going to roll with it. Pressure's coming, and he is sacked.
Hermode again in there. Being the first guy that makes the hit, he's also getting some help from Dan Washington, another senior, 5'10", 245 pounds. But Cook trying to find the seam on that quarterback draw, but really nowhere to go.
So a loss of about 5 on the play, 2nd and 15, inside of 11 minutes to go in a state championship game, a game led by a dozen by Lincoln Southeast. And again, Burke lets that clock run, and they take a look at their wristbands, what they have in mind. Now that pistol formation, and they'll hand the ball off tackle to the right side. Bouncing out is Jordan Nelson. Nelson breaks the tackle, gets the sideline. He's got it at the 50, and it's going to be knocked out of bounds at about the 40-yard line. A huge play for Omaha Burke. Just a quick little counter, and he got into that secondary in no time flat. Made one guy miss in the open area, and that is a huge play here for Burke.
Yeah, and again, it's Jordan Nelson who makes it happen, and he was able to turn that corner, make a move. And it was the safety man who twice has saved a touchdown tonight, Luke Gifford, who was able to get a piece of him.
And that linebacker from that far side just can't get there fast enough. He had the angle. He just can't get there fast enough. Ball is spotted at the 38-yard line. 1st and 10 here for Omaha Burke. And they got something going. A drive is started at the 3-yard line. And they'll hand the ball off on another counter here for Nelson. Nelson tries the same play. A little bit different result. Gain of only about 3, but that keeps them on schedule. They don't have to get those 51-yard runs every time. You gain 3 or 4 on every crack, you're going to be in pretty good shape as well.
Yeah, that linebacker he ran past last time, Connor McDonald, was able to shut him down this time. 5'11", 175-pound senior, got a good piece of him at the 35.
Now that pistol, again, is going to be Cook. He'll take the snap. He'll step up. He's going to throw into double coverage. It's a jump ball, and it is incomplete. And he ought to be happy with that result because that was a very dangerous throw. It was in double coverage already, and then the safety came over. So there were 3 white shirts on the coverage as they tried to get the ball to Peyton Nelson. They're trying to force the ball into Nelson. They got other receivers.
Nelson was there, had a chance at it, but again, another good defensive play by the safety man, Luke Gifford.
And Nelson has caught only 1 pass in the game. Zach Oliver with 3 receptions. Trayvon Heimer, 1 quick little pass for a 2-yard gain, and that has been it. 3rd and 8 from the 35-yard line. Clock stops inside of 10 minutes to go here. And again, it's Cook. He'll take the shotgun snap, throws it in the middle, pass
Incomplete. Now a late flag. I think they were in there just a little bit early. They were throwing for Tavon Heimer, and Heimer was there, and there was just a little bit of contact on the backside there, and Dragoo is going to be whistled for the pass interference.
Yeah, he's the one that's had the tight coverage, and this time maybe trying to lean in a little bit to the official behind him and see if from behind. Boy, I tell you, that looks like pretty good defense.
Yeah, when I watched it live, I thought, wow, that's good coverage, and maybe there was more to it than what I thought, and then you see the replay, and no, there wasn't more to it than what I thought.
Yeah, you thought maybe his right arm had hooked him or something, but his right arm is way off the play.
Any contact was pretty incidental, but they're going to call the pass interference, and that is a huge break here for Omaha Burke, as they'll move it 15 yards, have the first down at the 20-yard line. This is a 7-play, 77-yard drive so far. They have 20 more to carry to get some points on the board, and they need the touchdown. They're not going to go for a field goal here. And in that pistol formation, then they'll hand the ball off, bouncing around. That's going to be calling. Lost the football. There is a scrum for it at the 18-yard line, and the Knights come up with it.
Looks like it's going to be Jared Cooper who came up with the loose football.
And he had a nice little gain on the play. That was a very good drive except for the final play. And that was the fumble after about a 5-yard gain. And again, just fighting for those extra yards. And somebody was able to punch the football out. And we haven't seen a replay to try to give you an idea who that is. But in any result, it is a turnover and the end to a very important drive here for both of these two high schools. 9:39 to go. Ball at the 15-yard line. They'll hand the ball to Washington. And Washington breaks one tackle. Keeps lunging forward. He's got a gain of 8 when he should have had a gain of 2 as they just couldn't wrap him up. And he was running hard.
And here's where a lot of running backs really want to run the football because everybody's going to be reaching in, trying to grab it away from you instead of trying to tackle you, and you can pick up that extra yardage when they're trying to grab the football instead of you.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Larry, and that's exactly what happened there. Gain of 8 because they're trying to strip at the football instead of making the tackle. And my money is on a handoff to number 5, Devin Washington, here out of the I formation. Washington has it right up the middle, breaks one tackle, has a seam, has a big gain across the 40-yard line, and he's going to be pulled down there. Just a good hard hit up the middle. Nice seam created by that offensive line, and they'll move the chains and move a step closer to a state championship.
Yeah, he followed his blockers up front, including the umpire. He used him to his advantage to pick up another 5 yards.
Yeah, it was more of a screen, really, than a block, but it still was effective. And, again, just a quick little hitter right up the middle, just a quick little trap. And as a result, they get a big gain on the play, first and 10 from the 40-yard line. And, again, they're looking at that play clock that is running here at Memorial Stadium. Pitch out to Washington. Washington cuts in, breaks a tackle at the 50, and stiff-arms another man and is finally pushed out of bounds at about the 43-yard line. And really, Burke, fortunate that they don't have a late hit on that play. I've seen that called here even today on that sideline when you bring him down after he's already gone out of bounds. But in any event, they'll move the chains at about the 43-yard line, first and 10 for Southeast, and they're beginning to open up a lot of breathing room.
Yeah, they're just doing a great job of using that ground game of Devin Washington, 27 carries, 191 yards in this state championship game.
And I would assume this is going to be carry number 28 unless they decide to give it to Gilbert, the fullback. They do hand it to Washington. Washington off tackle, follows Gilbert into the hole, and he gets the ball out to the 40-yard line. Gain of about 3 more yards here. So Washington getting a little bit step closer to that 200-yard plateau and also the championship plateau as well, because that clock continues to move here. 8:05 to go here, fourth quarter. Knights lead it 21-9, and it is second and 7. A couple more first downs. Won't ice it, but it will make it chilly.
6 points, though, on the board would really ice this one, I think, for Lincoln Southeast.
I think you're right as well. And the G. Jackson Najee Jackson's going to pitch it to Washington that time. Washington is upended. Coming through underneath on the blitz is Jeremy Queen, and Queen knew that Washington was going to run the ball just like everybody else in the stadium, and he was able to knife through there, make a tackle, loss on the play, and that is going to set up third and 10.
Golden example of how you form tackle right there. He went right for the legs and was able to take Devin Washington down immediately.
And that's why Washington wears those thigh pads as well, because they took out both of those two legs. I formation, the Jay Jackson in under center, and he's going to drop back and he's going to throw. And pressure's coming. He rolls out of it. Now he's going to run with the football. Bounces back to the inside, and he's going to be short of the first down. Gains about 6 on the play. He did not do anything foolish with the football. I think that's a pretty good decision by Najee Jackson. Even though he did not get the first down, he keeps the clock moving. He also doesn't do anything foolish with the football, and that was a very successful drive. The clock's still moving here. They'll have eaten off about three and a half minutes on this drive by the time they punt the football away.
And Omaha Burke is not going to have very good field position. They're going to be pinned back once again.
And again, they had it inside the 20 when they turned the ball over. And now time really ticking away against Omaha Burke. They're down by 12 with 6:20 to go. They come with a little bit of pressure, but the punt is underway. A little low punt, and it is going to be fair caught at the 15-yard line. Making the fair catch is Turner Gaines. And so 85 yards for Omaha Burke. That's what they've got to cover, as a field goal really doesn't do them much good. They've got to score, and they've got to score on this drive. And they have to do it relatively quickly because they still need to have one more score after that.
Yeah, and they've got to score touchdowns because, you know, we talked about the fact whether that missed extra point would come into play. It has come into play because now they have to score 2 touchdowns.
So the missed extra point, they did not kick the field goal. But I'll tell you what, if this is, they get that and it's a 13-21 game, this is way different if they would have converted 2 kicks. 2 very convertible kicks as well. So ball spotted at the 15-yard line. 1st and 10 here for Omaha Burke. We're midway through the fourth quarter, and that vaunted Burke offense has got to shine here. Cook will quarterback draw right up the middle, gain about 5 yards on the play. Clock will start to move here. We'll be under 6 minutes by the time we have the analysis from Larry Cotner.
Well, I'll tell you, it looked like he had a lot of running room there, but it quickly come to an end as Will Weber was able to come up and put the stop on him after about a gain of 4 or 5 yards.
They are going no huddle. They're calling the plays pretty quickly. Pistol formation for Cook. He'll roll out to his right, a little bit of pressure, throws it a little bit high, tipped and incomplete. Ooh, boy. He threw the ball over to Tavon Heimer, and Heimer went up high to make the catch and couldn't get his mitts on it, but it gave an opportunity for Southeast to make the interception. They couldn't quite get there.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was Tanner Cook or Jared Cooper who was out there on the defensive end, but they had just slipped down and reaching back, couldn't quite come up with the ball.
So it's going to be 3rd and a little bit more than 5 here with 5:39 to go. Shotgun formation again here for Cook. He'll take the snap. Not much pressure. Steps in underneath. Nice little pitch and catch at the 30-yard line. And they'll move the chains as they get the ball to Jordan Nelson. Nice little strike there. And exactly what you want. Just sit down in that open area and have the quarterback find you.
Yeah, going to that underneath route to your running back, Jordan Nelson, who can make something happen once he makes that catch.
So 1st and 10 from the 32. A little bounce, a little pump fake, and now the deep ball. And that's in double coverage, and that is going to be intercepted at the 30-yard line. That little pump fake did not do the trick. They were trying to get the ball out to Heimer, and it is underthrown and intercepted. Colin Clare with the catch, and that doesn't ice it, but it's awful close.
Oh, yeah, pretty close, and they played that so beautifully. They forced him to go try it when he played that long. Going for Nelson, Heimer there. He was covered deep, and then when they underthrew it, that's when Clare was able to step in there and make the play.
You know, if there wasn't that help on the backside, probably would have been a pretty good pass under throwing it there and having a good athlete come back for the ball. But with that help,
That was just really good defensive scheme there for Lincoln Southeast as they come up with the interception. And now Southeast has to call a timeout. They're not happy with their personnel out there, and they call a timeout. 5:19 to go in the Class A state championship. The Knights with a 21-9 lead and the football when we come back after this.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer's so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for three touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
Randy Bushcutter, Larry Cotner, and Stacy Johns, our engineer back in Kearney, here for the Class A state championship game, the final high school football game of 2011. Oh, we barely knew ye. The season went by very, very quickly. A lot of exciting games throughout the course of the year, and actually some a lot of interesting action here in Lincoln in the state finals. But right now the Knights trying to take out any excitement in this game at all. If they can get a few first downs, and they're in pretty good shape here, and this is going to be a steady diet, I would assume, of Devin Washington. Nope, they are going to roll out, pass the ball out to Cotton. Cotton makes the catch and is going to be upended at about the 40-yard line, just short of the first down. That's a nice little safe pass to your tight end and a well-delivered ball under pressure by Najee Jackson.
Well, evidently Omaha Burke was also expecting a lot of running plays here, but that was just wide open and a good open field tackle out there that time for Braxton Adams. Otherwise, Cotton's got some running room.
And again, we don't have a real great angle here. I thought that was right at the first down marker. They don't even have to measure it. It is enough for the first down. So first and 10 from the 41. Clock now moving. And again, about 8 seconds left on the play clock as Jackson goes in under center, falls down, hands the ball off. It's on the turf. And Burke says they've got the football. Jackson got tripped up by one of the pulling guards. And Burke does have the football. There is the indication. That's the break that the Bulldogs needed, and they got it with 4:43 to go. They've got the ball at the 40-yard line.
I think it was Kirby LeBlanc who may have come out of there with the football for the Bulldogs. And they have got the break that they needed.
And Jay Jackson got his foot stepped on and fallen down. He tried to hand the ball off to Washington. And, again, it just threw off the timing and the angles and all that stuff. The ball came loose, and that's just a tough break here for Lincoln Southeast. And Burke got the break that they needed. They actually spotted at the 41-yard line. So first and 10 from the 41, and Burke still has three timeouts left. And they'll be in that pistol formation. Calling out the signal is going to be Zachary Cook. Cook is going to pitch the ball out to his tailback, Nelson. Nelson breaks one tackle. He's going to gain about 6 yards on the play. Clock will move here with 4:33 to go here, and he'll set up, we'll call it second and four.
You got to have a sense of urgency if you're Omaha Burke, but at the same time, you've got enough time, you don't have to panic.
That pistol formation again. It's going to be Cook. Cook a little time to throw. Looks, now he's going to scramble a little bit, still looking to throw, throws it, tipped, and open there after the tip passes Nelson. Nelson has a catch at the 10, at the 5, lunges down to the 2-yard line. A little bit of break for Omaha Burke as the pass was tipped, and then Jordan Nelson, all by himself at that point, was able to make the play and really give a lot of credit to Zachary Cook, who kept that play alive with his feet.
Yeah, that's what kept this play going, was the fact that Cook was able to scramble and then go with it. And once it was tipped, it slowed the play down. I think if Nelson maybe gets that cleanly, he may score.
Well, they got awfully close to it anyway. It's first and goal from the 2-yard line, and now they're taking some time. Cook will hand the ball off. Nelson off tackle. He is in for the touchdown. The ball came loose. Did he get in time or not? It is a fumble and a touchback. They dropped the ball at the goal line, and Southeast recovered, and that might be the play of the game. That might wrap it up.
Well, now they're going to have a discussion between all the officials. There is no replay in high school football. They're going to all talk about it and see if maybe he crossed the goal line first.
And they're having a discussion there. They're having a discussion. When did the ball come out? That is what's absolutely crucial here. They're calling it a touchback. They have the discussion. That was their original indication. And now here comes the replay, and we'll see if we get a sense of exactly what happens here. They give the ball to Nelson. Nelson is hit, and he did drop it as he was crossing the goal line. I think the officials got the call right. We do not have a definitive angle, but I do believe that he was hit before the ball got in there. The ball hit the turf before the goal line when it came out. So I think the officials got it absolutely correct.
And was that Bain that made the play?
Yes, it was.
He knocked it loose and recovered the fumble.
The ball was knocked loose inside the one-yard line, but it, when the ball came out, it did not hit the goal line, and I think that's a telling thing to look at when you see that replay.
Well, there's no camera angle along the goal line.
No.
That had to be about as close as could be to being a touchdown without being one.
Well, we say it's a game of inches, and there is your evidence right there with 3:47 to go. And now they'll hand the ball off to Washington, and Washington wrapped up at the 20-yard line. So the fumble, a huge one. Second fumble of the game here for Omaha Burke. Second fumble they've had, second fumble they've lost. They've also had a couple of interceptions, so four turnovers in the game. You cannot do that and think that you're going to win the football game. We have a timeout here after no gain on the play. So with 3:32 to go, fourth quarter, now the Bulldogs are starting to use their timeouts. And we'll take a timeout with them as well. Lincoln Southeast 21, Omaha Burke 9. We're back after this.
At ENT Physicians of Kearney, we put patients first. Doctors Connolly and Owen have provided unsurpassed care to adults and children with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, please visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community, one patient at a time. We're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
And welcome back here to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. And Christian Boehm making the play of the game, forcing that turnover at the goal line. And I'll tell you what, we've had a couple of turnovers at the goal line here in the ball game, and it has worked right now to the favor of Lincoln Southeast as they're trying to ice the game here. And they'll hand the ball off to Washington. Washington right up the middle breaks one tackle. Now they're just trying to strip at the ball. They're going to pull him down at about the 24-yard line. And Burke going to call another timeout here with 3:23 to go. And again, we keep talking about the game getting iced. But you know what? It isn't. I mean, if they don't get a first down here, they're going to have to punt. And they can get some big plays and an onside kick. And you know, again, this is just a game that the plot continues to thicken.
Look how fast Burke has moved the ball downfield.
Yeah.
The last two times they've had it, but they've thrown an interception and fumbled it away. They just haven't been able to put the points on the board. I imagine we take a look over here. Omaha Burke, 339 yards of offense on 52 plays. One more play than Lincoln Southeast, who has 377. But when you look on the scoreboard, 21-9, the difference is Southeast is putting it into the end zone and cashing in.
And again, we did a couple of missed opportunities with points. Again, you that field goal at the end of the first half, get the extra point. You put four more points up there for Burke. This is a one-possession game, and it really feels like a one-possession game, but it's actually two possessions. So that's why Burke really has to kind of get the ball back here on this possession, and they have a hard count, and now there's a flag, and that's going to be a 5-yard penalty. Not enough for the first down, but boy, it's going to be close. It's going to make third and about 1 yard here with 3:23 to go. The hard count by Najee Jackson draws Burke offside.
That's going to be about third and about 2 feet.
Well, that's even closer than I thought, yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, I thought that was a good solid yard, but you're right. That's a little bit closer than we thought. So this is a huge play. If they get the stop here, they'll have to punt the football after the timeout. So we'll see if they go hard count again. And again, they go with a nose tackle. Now they slide over a little bit.
going to hand the ball off to the fullback right up the middle, and boy, it's going to depend on where they spot it. There wasn't much surge there for Levi Gilbert. Gilbert keeping those legs moving, and I think they've got enough for the first down. I think they got a yard and they needed 2 feet, so that is going to be a first down as they get it out to the 31-yard line, and that clock will continue to move. Bulldogs can call timeout only one time, and you know the Knights are going to run at least three times here, so another first down, and this is a done deal.
Well, Omaha Burke has been their own worst enemy here in the fourth quarter. They've had their opportunities. Turnovers and penalties have been costly.
And again, they're looking at that play clock. That's 5 seconds left when they snap it, and they give it to Washington. Washington off tackle. Gains maybe about two. As I'll tell you what, Burke is just putting everybody in the box, and they call a timeout here with 2:51 to go. Again, the Knights with a 21-9 lead over Omaha Burke. And, Larry, you said it right. The Burke has been their own worst enemy. Those turnovers have been costly, including one right at the goal line on a guy that eventually, I mean, he did get into the end zone. Running in there was Jordan Nelson. Nelson actually got into the end zone. He just didn't have the football with him when he got there.
Yeah, we got to also, though, credit the Lincoln Southeast defense. Christian Beam stripping that ball away, recovering it immediately. Colin Clare stepping in right when he had to on the under coverage to pick off the interception or pick off the ball for the interception on the previous drive.
So 2:51 to go and a 12-point lead for Lincoln Southeast, and they've got the football here. And, again, we're going to see a steady diet of the running game. I don't even think you throw a screen because working the time off the clock is just as important as anything else. All they have to do, they're almost to the point where they can start kneeling on the ball because you work off over 30 seconds on each one of those plays, but they can't quite get there yet with 2:51 to go. But if they can drive and get a first down here on their next two plays, they certainly would be able to do it. I formation. Jackson trying the hard count, hands it to Washington. No, he's going to keep it on the naked boot, and he'll cut to the outside, has it at the 40, needs to secure the football, and is knocked down at about the 42-yard line. First and 10 for the Knights, and it's time for the victory formation. Almost. They're only about 20 seconds away from it. They'll stop the clock with 2:43 to go here. They'll start the clock, and they won't need to snap the ball until there's about 2 minutes and 16 seconds to go in the game. They can't quite take it all off yet, but they can get it inside of 20 seconds.
What a great call by Ryan Gatula and his coaching staff. Everybody thought it was going to be a run up the middle, a naked bootleg. We hadn't seen Jackson run much, but he was just wide open. All he had to do was pick up the first down.
They'll snap the ball with about 5 seconds left on the clock, and Washington off that left side, they fold him up near midfield, and that's a great drive on first down as he gains about 8 yards. And on that far side, Omaha Burke's coaching staff, led by Paul Lamonghi, trying to exhort them, you got to make a stop, got to make a stop, because another first down, and it is victory formation time. 2 minutes left when they break the huddle. They need to snap it in another 15 seconds here, so about a minute 45 when they put the ball in play. And Jackson will step in under center, pitch it to Washington. Washington getting a lead block, gets the corner, has the first down, needs to stay in bounds, and he is knifed down at about the 42-yard line. And clean off some shell space again at Lincoln Southeast, because the state championship is going to come back to Southeast, where it has not been for the last 9 years. Their last state championship was in 2002 until tonight. The victory formation coming up here for Southeast.
Well, I'll tell you what a workhorse Devin Washington's been here tonight, too. He was smart on that play. He went down on the play, didn't try to get the extra yards to go outside. 34 carries, 213 yards. Wow.
470 yards of total offense here for Southeast. They don't victory formation. They hand it to Washington. Washington fights and gets back to the 40-yard line. I'm surprised they even have that extra exchange there, because Jackson can just kneel on the football, and he'll only need to do that two more times. And I think now they're beginning to understand that, as the near sideline right underneath us, they are erupting. It's been almost a generation since they won a state championship in Southeast. That used to be a habit. Now it's been a 9-year drought for them, and that drought will come to an end here tonight, as they don't need to snap it, but really about one more time. They will take a knee, And that will keep that clock moving. 40 seconds away from the state championship. And if I'm the new head coach of Lincoln Southeast, Ryan Gatula, I'm looking out. Oh, they already got him with the Gatorade, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they got him here just on the previous play. Yeah, he's already wet.
Well, he understood it a little bit quicker than I did, I guess. One more kneel down, 20 seconds to go. They'll flip the ball to the official. They'll run to the sideline, and they will celebrate at Lincoln Southeast High School. Clock still ticking down. And Omaha Burke, who hasn't been in the final since 1980, will have to wait a little bit longer for their first ever state football championship. Triple zeros on the scoreboard, and Lincoln Southeast with a 21-9 win over Omaha Burke. And that wraps up the 2011 high school football season. Congratulations to Lincoln Southeast, state champions in Class A.
Well, I tell you what, it was a tremendous performance by the Knights here. They got off to a great start with the opening call going long with Jackson hitting Desmond Robinson on a 59-yard touchdown pass. That really set the tone for this ball game. They trailed only once at 9-7.
And they had 404 yards of total offense, so congratulations to the Knights. They really got things going offensively. And Omaha Burke, again, the turnovers really what cost them. A couple of fumbles, a couple of interceptions, including a very costly turnover right at the goal line that, again, there's a lot of plays you look at that kind of change the game. But certainly if they score a touchdown there, the last 2 minutes of this game would have been a whole lot different. So Lincoln Southeast with the win, 21-9. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the MISCO Sports Postgame Report. We'll do that right after this timeout.
The most recommended by far, Houston's Body Shop. That's who we are. Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended Eustace Body Shop. That's who we are.
Killian Motors in Kearney wants your trade-in. Stop in today and check out the great selection of program and new vehicles at low, low prices. Killian Motors needs good used vehicles, and you can help. They'll give you a great deal on your old trade-in. Killian Motors, your GM dealer where people come back time after time. 8th and Central in Kearney.
High school football action is on Platte River Radio, 308-646-0506. Put it in your phone book and text us when you've got an area high school sports score.
Want to thank our sponsors. One of tonight's presenting sponsors is Five Points Bank in Hastings, locally owned, locally managed, with friendly service and strong commitment to area youth. Many reasons why Five Points Bank is the better bank, and also one of our presenting sponsors, MISCO Sports in Kearney. You're listening to the MISCO Sports Postgame Report. Get your game on now at MISCO's. Shop located in the downtown Kearney Center is MISCO's. You'll be better equipped for all the games you play. And again, turnovers, penalties, Murphy's Law. You know, if you make those mistakes, that's going to cost you a championship, and that's what happened to Omaha Burke, but give credit to Southeast. They caused a lot of those turnovers themselves.
They caused the turnovers, and they came here with a pretty good offense themselves, able to put 21 points on the board, hold Omaha Burke, though, to 9 points. That is amazing,
yeah.
Right there.
Single digits. No one really kind of saw that coming in this one. Let's give you the scoring summary. We'll begin with that. Lincoln Southeast, very first play of the game. Desmond Robinson got the pass from the Jay Jackson from 59 yards out, 14 seconds into the game. It was 7-0 Southeast. Then Omaha Burke scored their next two scores they got. Hayden Guy hit a 32-yard field goal in the ensuing drive after the touchdown from Southeast. That made it 7-3. A couple of possessions later, Carson Collins had a 5-yard run. The extra point was no good. It was 9-7 at that point. And that point was important because late in the second quarter, a field goal could have changed this whole game. But with a minute 21 to go in the second quarter, Sam Cotton caught a 34-yard screen pass from the Jay Jackson. That made it 14-9. Then that ensuing drive, they got down to the 20-yard line, had a chance maybe to try a 37-yard field goal. They went for the touchdown instead, didn't get it, so it was 14-9 at that point. The only points of the second half came with 3:53 to go in the third quarter. Lincoln Southeast getting on the board again. Levi Gilbert, a 5-yard run right up the middle, and again, I thought he was wrapped up, but kept the pile moving forward. He goes in for the 5-yard score, a 9-play, 85-yard drive. And again, the two touchdowns that they got besides the very quick strike, a 9-play drive and another 9-play drive, one for 78 yards, one for 85 yards for Lincoln Southeast. So when they scored their touchdowns, except for that real quick strike to start the game, they earned it. They had that methodical drive, and they put together two touchdown drives and one long play, and they win this one 21-9. And again, turnover is a big factor as well.
Turnover is a big factor. The missed opportunities of getting in to the end zone when the Omaha Burke had their opportunities. But I guess it just goes back to that old adage, though, Randy. Offensives, high-scoring offenses, they sell tickets, they put people in the seats, but it's defenses that win you championships. And that's what Lincoln Southeast did here tonight. When Omaha Burke was going for the big plays, when it really was in crunch time, Lincoln Southeast defense stepped up every time.
And they made some big stops, forced the field goal, made the stop on the goal line. And again, Southeast shot themselves in the foot with that halfback pass one time. That really one of the very few mistakes that they had in the game as they win this one 21-9. And congratulations to them. Burke, only loss on the season, comes in the state championship game. So they're right now getting the runner-up trophy and thinking themselves what might have been.
Omaha Burke, a very talented team. They don't have a lot of tradition. They haven't played in the state championship game since 1984. And so when you do that 27 years away from the game, you know, you're really anxious to play in here. Lincoln Southeast, yeah, they've got a lot of tradition, but none of these players have been in the state championship game. But still, there's that expectation. You hear it from the fans. You hear it from the former players. And they expect you to act like a champion when you show up at Memorial Stadium for that championship game.
So Southeast wins at 21-9. Let's give you the numbers for you. Again, first of all, with the team, Lincoln Southeast with 22 first downs. They ran the ball 47 times for 264 yards. Had 140 yards passing in the game, 7 of 12 in the air. They did have an interception, so a total of 404 yards on offense. They had one fumble and lost one fumble, so they had two turnovers in the game. Their time of possession, they won that battle 27 minutes 46 seconds to 20 minutes and change for Omaha Burke. They were 6 of 12 on third down efficiency. That same number for Omaha Burke. For Burke, they had 13 first downs compared to 22 for Southeast. They had 33 rushes for 212 yards. They were 7 of 19 in the air with two interceptions for 127 yards. So they had 339 yards of total offense on 52 plays. They did lose two fumbles here in the game. They were also penalized six times for 45 yards. And the individual numbers for Lincoln Southeast, Devin Washington, 35 carries, 214 yards, did not get in the end zone. Levi Gilbert did get in. He carried the ball five times for 27 yards, all those quick little hitters from the fullback. Now, Jay Jackson, four carries for 17 yards, none bigger than the naked bootleg that set up one of their final first downs that kept that clock moving. Trey Foster, one carry for 10 yards. And receiving, Devin Robinson had two catches for 62 yards and a touchdown. Sam Cotton caught that screen pass for the score. He had two catches for 44 yards. Devontae Madlock, two catches for 29, and Trey Foster, one catch for 5 yards. For Omaha Burke individually, Jordan Nelson, 18 carries, 77 yards. Carson Collins, nine carries for 26 yards and a touchdown. Zachary Cook carried the ball six times for 9 yards. Jordan Nelson, three catches for 74. Zach Oliver, three catches for 51. And Trevon Heimer, one catch for 2 yards. As Jay Jackson for Southeast was 7 of 11 in the air
for 140 yards and two touchdowns. And again, Washington did have one throw that was intercepted. Devin Washington, one throw that was intercepted at the goal line. Zachary Cook did all the passing here for Omaha Burke. He was 7 of 19 with two interceptions for 127 yards in the ball game. And of the individual numbers, to me, the one that tells the biggest story of why Omaha Burke did not win is Cook's numbers of 7 of 19 with two interceptions for 127 yards and no touchdowns here in the ball game. So Lincoln Southeast wins the state championship final in this one of 21-9. And again, I think I'd love to see these two teams play again next week if we could talk them into it.
Yeah, it's just a tremendous game. It's one of those things where you've got the offense against the defense, and then how well the offense for the defensive team plays against the defense of the offensive team. And it was just a lot of fun. Special teams played a big part in this, too. You know, we were talking about how big it was that it was a two-possession game late in the game, two touchdowns. Think back about the nice play that we talked about from Tanner Morton, picking up that ball so that kicker Colin Clare could kick through that last extra point. Otherwise, we're talking about an 11-point difference. Then you can kick a field goal when you get down there a little close and then go for the touchdown and the two-point conversion to tie. But, you know, just everything is small. It all adds up. I think next year, Lincoln Southeast has got to be your definite preseason number one with all that talent that they've got coming back that will be seniors.
Yeah, a lot of skill positions coming back next year, and a few of the guys on the offensive and defensive line as well. So Southeast looks like they're poised to make another run. They win their ninth state championship, their first one in 9 years, and they'll try to go back to back, something that they did a couple of times. They did it in 76 and 77. They did it in 91 and 92. They did it in 97 and 98. They skipped a year between 2000 and 2002, but they're hoping that maybe they can go back-to-back next year. And, Larry, I think you're right. They definitely be a prohibitive favorite, I would think, going in next season.
And have a chance to be the first team ever to win double-digit state titles. Howell's had a chance this weekend, but didn't quite get it done. So Lincoln Southeast will have that chance next year.
Larry Connor, appreciate you helping out tonight, bud. This was a lot of fun. Good to see you.
It was a blast. I enjoyed it.
All right. Larry Connor, thanks so much for joining us. And Stacy Johns, our engineer back in the studio, I'm glad she was able to help us out all season. And certainly want to thank all of our sponsors for helping us bring you coverage of high school football throughout the course of the season, high school volleyball as well. We'll take a little time off, and boy, before you know it, we'll be back and hitting the hardwood for coverage of wrestling and as well as high school basketball, as the first high school basketball games that we'll have on the air for you on our network of stations should be about December the 1st. And boy, that's just not too far around the corner as well. I'm Randy Bushgar. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for all of our sponsors that allow us to bring you coverage of high school football throughout the course of the season. And obviously the folks back home listening as well, thanks for joining us for coverage of high school football. It's been fun. We'll turn our attention to the winter sports season the next time we're on the air. So once again, our final score, Lincoln Southeast 21, Omaha Burke 9. They join Elgin, Pope John, Sargent, Elkhorn, Norfolk Catholic, and David City Aquinas as the state champions here in 2011. I'm Randy Bushgar. Thanks for joining us. Good night, everybody.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Platte River Radio Sports.